This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3662 for Tuesday, the 16th of August, 2022. Today's show is entitled Hacker Public Radio 2021-2022 New Year's Show Part 1. It is the 20th show of Hanky Magoo and is about 186 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is: the HPR community comes together to chat.
Folks. Good morning, Netminer. How are you, sir?
Oh, getting by. Decided to drop in for, since it's been 2 years since I was able to do it.
But you're in the year before.
Yeah, but last year the old system didn't allow my mumble to hook up.
Right. Did you do anything interesting for Christmas?
Not really. Nope. Very quiet. Going to be a busy year. Got to get this place hooked up to sewage or I won't be able to make next year's podcast.
So are you going to go for the loan now?
I'm going to see what I can do. Unfortunately, my property has become interesting to do it to a developer. So his friends at the town hall are making me hook up to sewage instead of continuing to be grandfathered.
Right.
The same people who help with home renovations are also the people who deal with developers. A conflict of interest, which is probably very useful.
Probably, just not for you, unfortunately.
And, if I wasn't disabled, I would have lost the house to when my mother went into the nursing home. So at least I got a fighting chance, sort of.
Right.
Of course, this situation is helping my clinical depression massively.
Oh, I'm sure.
And, I've got a lawyer, but I don't think he's really willing to engage.
I got you. So are you still into the decluttering process of the house?
Yes, although over Christmas, my depression has gotten ahead of me, but I'm just going to have to keep grinding on and getting rid of the most sensitive materials, of course.
Right. Did you fix the network cables that were hanging down that frightened them?
No, I haven't. I've been working on other decluttering. I removed one full-size bed and have been hacking away at other cluttered spaces. Now, a lot of the general cleanup hasn't been progressing or has regressed, but I have been getting a bunch of stuff out the door.
Well, that's good. You see your brother over the holidays?
Oh, no. He won't come up here until it's time to cash the check.
On the road?
Oh, yeah. He's on the road, and he's got himself a nice lady
friend.
Good
morning.
Morning, Ken.
I swore I heard people talking.
Yeah, we're here, man. Is there trouble?
I'm not hearing you. That's the question. Testing, testing.
We hear you.
Excellent. Very good, very good, very good. Good morning, Honky.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Do we have a Etherpad?
Yep. I've both emailed it to you, and I just put it here in the mumble chat. It's the shownotes.ogguy.9001phprnye2021. I think the biggest screw-up with that was the fact that I wasn't able to ever post to the mailing list, and then when I posted it to social networks, I kind of had to cut it back the size of my posts. So I left some of the details off here, and those will show up on the what's get posted to hackerpublicradio.org. I could talk this morning.
Just give me 1 second. Let's see if the page is updated. 2 minutes to the first one going. Yep, we got us an Etherpad. Excellent, Smithers. Excellent.
Now, have you tested the audio stream at all?
Yeah, the only weirdness is it doesn't play Firefox with the autoplay thing because of the HTTPS.
Got it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way that one's got to be right now. Sorry.
No, it's fine. You did well to get it running.
I mean, it'll work in VLC. I know that.
Yeah, that too. And for some reason, FFmpeg is having a problem playing it. So I updated the recordings from the stream thing. So I have one of them running here and one running in Ireland. So I updated the link and how to do it with command line VLC. We're almost down to 1 minute, and then at least some people can get out of this feckin' year.
Now, how is the audio levels with that? I really didn't have much time to test it. I got it.
No, fine.
It was about like 11 o'clock last night. I finally got it. And ice cast and butt. The big thing there being getting butt to work. Because the hard ice cast I got up no problem. Hell, I had it on a diet pie. Super easy. But trying to find a client to work. Like, no, there's no client in a repo anywhere. Ice cast is everywhere, but there's no clients in any repos anywhere. So I had to compile things from source and I tried OBS, I tried Mix, yep. I tried with Dark Eyes, I tried getting Dark Eyes compiled, I couldn't get Dark Eyes compiled, but I got Butt to compile last night, and Butt is nice, it's got this nice little graphic that comes up.
Should we do the intro?
Sure.
Save this chat for afterwards, because I have some sharing as well. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go ahead with your intro.
Oh, okay. Hi, and welcome again to the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show. Today is December 31st, 2021, and which year is this for? I have the 9th on my thing here, but it's not the 9th, is it?
Well, actually, it's not. It's the 20th. It's the 1st of January 2022, because we've just welcomed in Christmas Island into the new year.
It is indeed. For those people in Christmas Island, Happy New Year. To the rest of us still waiting, Happy New Year's Eve. We're here again, talking, having a good time for 26 hours or
yeah,
so.
At least. Because it's falling on a Saturday, it'll usually... falling on a Friday, and then Saturday, hopefully we'll pick up some people. People will be willing to talk and come back on tomorrow. So I'm expecting a full day tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
So, when I heard that the stream wasn't available, I also started doing the configuration, and I ran into the same thing as you. No problem, just doing a DNF install Icecast. And for the people listening, in order to get streaming working, so you've got something that's playing, and you need to get it out to a streamer. So the streamer is Icecast, and it's simple apt-get install Icecast, Bob's your uncle, Maggie's your aunt, Tom's your first cousin. And that worked on Fedora, and it worked on Ubuntu, no problem. So then you have Mumble, and you need to get the sound out of Mumble and into this Icecast server. Yeah, I'm saying this like I'm an expert, which I'm not, because the only experience I have has been failures trying to get it to work on subsequent HPR shows, New Year shows. So then you have this client thing that sits in the middle that takes your audio from sound card and then streams it, I guess, into the streaming client, and then it streams it into Icecast, and Icecast then divvies it up and streams it out. Is that kind of correct, do you think?
That seems about right. Yeah. You were saying, the hardest part about that was trying to get a client to work right.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were talking before about setting up a null device and audio device. I didn't even have to do that. I mean, I just set it up to like whatever the default audio is, and made sure Mumble was set up to the same audio. And both are pumping out through Butt. Butt is nice. It is. It has little settings that you can go in and configure, like a big settings button. It's not a you don't have to configure a config file and then hope for the best and then try to figure out what's wrong. I'm actually recording right now in it, so we'll see how well that works too. I have it set up to start a new recording every 3 hours or so. So hopefully that should work great. So I'm both streaming and recording on the same device, and it's going to start a new recording every 3 hours automatically. So we'll see how well this works. So far, it seems to be working. There is still audio coming out. about 11 o'clock last night is when I finally got this finished and working. Well, to be fair, I started really working on it the first thing yesterday morning, and then I had to stop because we did, my parents are up from Florida, which is south of the United States, and so we did, my brother's up here with me, so we did a Christmas 2 with the kids and my parents, so we did that yesterday, so I had all of that, and then after everybody left, we could put all the kids to bed, I went right back down here and started working on it.
Yeah, I was at it until 1 o'clock in the morning, and because I only found out like around about 10, in the evening, and then spent a few hours editing. Just I was in like dependency hell, and then I downloaded the source code and for some of these clients, like Dark ISO was trying to get installed, and then it didn't have the lame library, so I installed all of those, and then I got a CPP compatibility error with version 17 or something, and the only solution to that is fix the code. So I then tried it on an Ubuntu machine, and then the BIOS wouldn't work, and I had a hard disk failure, you know yourself. So thankfully, you woke up this morning. Well, I got up early this morning in order to allow myself time to set up a streamer. But thankfully, you had it already working.
Yeah, and sorry about the show notes and stuff.
No, it's fine. It's everything's working now.
Yeah,
the important thing.
Yeah, I think the frustrating part was the fact that I could never post to the mailing list. I kept on getting rejected as spam. So
still,
yeah. Well, I tried reposting it again first thing this morning, and I got rejected as spam. That's why I sent I reposted the email that I tried to send out to the mailing list, you know, back in November, to just to you the first thing in the morning, because that had the link to the show notes in it.
Yeah, everything's now up on the website, so I think we're good to go.
Awesome.
Let's see, what are we talking about?
Stuff and things.
I'm filling up the show notes, because get annoyed with people if they don't fill up the show notes. It makes your life easier.
Yeah, I do appreciate it.
Mumble goes to a client, but goes to Icecast. So, have you had a good year?
Trying to think back.
Or have you dropped off?
No, I'm
don't do that. don't do loads of silence for me. Go, what the hell? What else has gone wrong?
No, I'm here. I'm just trying back to last year. I want to say this year was probably better than the last several.
Very good, very good.
Well, last year, not 2020, my mother-in-law was having health issues. She has heart problems where the just wasn't beating enough and stuff. Year before that, my father-in-law was in a car accident that put him in the hospital for a long period of time. And then we have all the problems with COVID and whatnot. This year was okay.
Yeah, no, we can do it okay. We'll be happy with okay. Okay's fine.
I don't think there was any big health scares this year. At least for me. Like me and my family, we've been pretty good this year. So with the new was Omicron, how are things in the Netherlands?
Well, we're in lockdown at the minute. Have been since the week before Christmas. They brought it in all of a sudden because they didn't want people rushing to the shops for stuff. But it's taken over as the major variant. But at the moment, I mean, we still have to wait for the delays before people hit the hospitals. And then again, the delay before they hit the critical care. But it seems to be manageable so far. My father-in-law's ex-wife is working as a nurse in the COVID departments, and she says it's manageable, that it's just become day-to-day now. This is their life, basically taking care of patients, and they tend to be COVID patients. She's saying anecdotally that there's more people getting dementia. The result of it, they seem a lot more confused this time around, but don't know if anyone else has picked up on that.
I haven't heard that, no.
Yeah, my mother's dementia was advanced by an infection, so it doesn't surprise me that COVID is advancing dementia as well. You know, it hammers the system, and this was a simple infection that eventually put her into full-time care.
Yeah. How are you, Netminder? Doing okay?
I'm doing...
That's aside.
Well, I'm doing reasonably well. I'll have to see when things come up, and because of things... my emergency planning has to be kind of private if I want to remain outside the hospital myself.
No problem. Well, it's nice to have a chat.
I've been waiting for this, for over a year since the server flubbed last time.
Cool. My son is looking forward to it. He gets to stay up all night and talk to people. And I think we're going, the next time zone is going 15 minutes after the first one, which is in 3 minutes. It's the Chipman Islands in New Zealand, which is interesting. But he is so looking forward to being able to talk to people who are into the stuff he's into, which is good.
Which is part of the point of Hacker Public Radio, trying to talk to like-minded people. Well, techies, trying to talk to other techies and stuff, people with common interests.
Oddly enough, he's not a techie as such. He's just into stuff that other people seem to be into. Whether that's, Minecraft or Dungeons & Dragons or Marvel Universe or whatever. That sort of stuff.
There's a lot of us who like all that stuff here.
And exactly. I just logged into Facebook for the first time in a year. I was able to copy and paste my last post, change 2021 to 2022. We're good.
I've been able to avoid Facebook successfully.
The only reason I have it is for this show, and occasionally I'll occasionally get a message through from a cousin or somebody abroad who's looking for something.
Yeah,
my abroad would be your local.
Well, that reminds me, I have some stuff to check on. I do most of my connections through YouTube.
Really? Through the chat or by posting videos?
Usually replying to videos. I don't chat much.
Oh, replying to family videos, you mean?
Well, family by choice, mostly. Also, I have Asperger's syndrome, and it is a good resource for that and for other autistic spectrum disorders and stuff.
Yep. Let's go. Chapman Island, New Zealand has gone.
Happy New Year to them.
Happy New Year to them. And well, then we
I hope it's still there, but Happy New Year, folks.
And we have another 3 hours before we have the next weird one. So it's always a bit odd when you do the first one and then there's 15 minutes later, there's a weird 15 thing. So did you find getting your diagnosis helpful or not?
Well, it's got me an income. Unfortunately, I ran across a toxic counselor and bailed out after over 15 years.
That's no good.
Yeah, not good.
Well, be very wary of a person with a PhD that did not go through a master's program.
Okay.
This person, because she had a PhD, believed that she knew everything about life, the universe, and everything.
Did she have a towel with her at the same time? That's the question.
Well, someone who used trying to justify the unjustifiable as a logic experiment and triggered my PTSD sort of got me, was a hint. In surviving veteran mode, well, I'm not a nice guy.
All right, I'm going to drop for 2 minutes to grab a cup of coffee.
Okie dokie. I put on a pot earlier on. Tati would be proud of me.
An interesting thing was my father, who graduated from a West Virginia, small town West Virginia high school,
mm-hmm.
and mass radio, don't forget that. I mean, full credentials here. He believed that he knew how everybody should run their lives as well. So he didn't need a PhD to have a perfect view of the universe.
Excellent. Well, that's good. I always feel happy. Okay. Well, for people who are so clued in, it must be good knowing good for them, not so good for everybody else.
Well, I got my PTSD across the dinner table.
Yeah, great.
Also, one of the aspects of Asperger's is that we're sort of like Commander Data. We tend to be literal and logical, focused, perceptive, intense. Now,
yeah, but I hear you rhyming off the autism. Right, when I got diagnosed, I was looking at a lot of this stuff and going, okay, that doesn't apply to me, that doesn't apply to me, that doesn't apply to me. I can see how that might apply to me, but not in that context. So I'm very reluctant to go, if those things apply to you, then that's fine. Go with it. But when I was looking at them, I was going, some of this stuff applies to me, but it's in the wrong context. It's like as if somebody's trying to describe somebody who has through no fault of their own, because nobody can experience somebody else's experiences. Somebody's trying to describe what I feel and is getting it wrong. But yeah, what can you do? It's like that video where the blind guy is talking about people trying to explain what the color blue looks like. It's warm. It's cold. It's the color of ice. It's the color of the sky. It's blue seas. It's, yeah. So that's kind of how...
Actually, what was interesting is that my condition was detected initially in my late teens or early 20s by a friend of mine who was reading my body language, which with Asperger's is absolutely non-standard. And he said, you can't be meaning what your body is transmitting non-verbally.
Yeah, okay, I get that. But I also get that I also notice the issue with air quotes neurotypicals, where they're saying something and their body language is saying something completely else. Completely, oh, it's so nice to see you. Where the body language is, I hate being here because I actually want to be at home or something. Or, oh, it's lovely, this gift that I got. I can tell by your body language that it's not. Now, I don't know if that's a me thing, but it seems to be in our house, at least, that some of the people can look at somebody and see a mismatch in body language. And is that, so my question has been, and this is just a question, that's not fact or anything, my question has been, well, is the change in body language because we perceive during the nonlinear developmental disorder that is Asperger's and us and et cetera, is that a learned behavior because you're looking and you're getting confused by the behavior of others? Discuss while I get a cup of coffee. Back in a tick. I will be listening.
I generally think that it's actually, I consider, because of the Asperger's, I think I'm tone deaf in the body language area, or rather like a deaf person trying to speak.
Killing myself coming down the stairs in order to press the push to talk button. Yes, but that can be an addition to autism, because there's separate where you can't read body language, but I'm not sure that defines autism, because I definitely don't do that. I get confused by people's body language, but you can't necessarily know what somebody's saying or thinking without them being totally honest to you. So the only honest answer you're going to get back tends to be from another autist who will go, yes, I really don't want to be here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm smiling because I just want to smile.
Well, the thing about it is that my particular flavor of autism, it's sort of a spectrum. That's why they call it an autistic spectrum.
Do they? Or is that just a donut, right? Where you go, okay, we'll draw the circle where all the normal people live. And then around that, we'll draw a circle for all the other boxes that we can put people in, the schizophrenics, the thingies. And then we'll draw another huge big circle around that for all the other people who don't fit in. So you might have some sort of this and a little bit of that. I think that's a get out of jail cause. I just think that is a nice, polite way of saying you, I'm not saying you, one is not fitting the mold. You're not fitting the mold. You're not doing stuff as the rest of us do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I will have the same traits as you. But that's a more brutal way of putting it than the list.
I think that's one of the things about why they... My particular flavor, which used to be called high functioning autism or what have you, Asperger's was a particular set of symptoms that a German doctor discovered during World War II. So that's part of the reason why it was slow percolating through the universe. But
my wife has written a book on autism as a result of HBR, and it's on the list to rewrite it. The history section of that is quite good about where it comes from, about apps and but carry on.
Well, the deal is that I also have some dyslexia and other sort of issues, but the deal is that it became a useful, why I still call myself an Ashby. By the way, if you want to hear another Ashby that's on YouTube, Eli the Computer Guy is also an Ashby. He does he started out doing tech. Now he's doing more stuff that's based on the insanity going on of government shutting things down every Tuesday. He analyzed.
And I'll give you a link there to another channel, which is Asperger's from the Inside. And it's from an Australian guy who, basically talks about autism and what it feels like in, for him. Some of the stuff I recognize, some of the stuff I don't.
Yeah, well, one of the people that I follow, or one of the families that I follow, is the Morgans on YouTube, and they have a nonverbal autistic. So some of us can't stop talking, and some of us have not decided to start, or can't decide to start. Could you package some stuff up and email it to Honky, and then he can pass it on to me? He's got my private email.
What stuff?
Anything autistic related that you might...
Sure. It'll be in the show notes, posted into the chat right now. But yeah, I can do that if I come across stuff. I can send you the book, which unfortunately is still in Dutch. but we've had a little bit of a busy time over the last period.
Oh, it's not. Sorry, I had many years of German, but that's rusted away in my Dutch.
No, but, it's not too far. It's not too far off. It. I had this really weird experience one time where I was learning Dutch, and then I think it was over the Christmas, I fell asleep in front of the TV, and then I woke up, the Discovery Channel was on, and I woke up to hear and understand Adolf Hitler giving a speech. Okay, now it's time for bed.
Actually, my German sometimes pokes through. One of my best buddies in college was from Harlem. The original Do Not Accept Any Substitutes Harlem.
Mm-hmm. My daughter's doing her work experience with the rail company from there. First train line in the Netherlands, apparently. I see Mr. X coming in, but not listening or speaking. Strange.
I really do need to follow HPR a bit more, but I've got so many interests, it's not even funny. A lot of them are military-based, basically from my background. You grow up in a combative household, and the military stuff is almost instinctive.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of people in the military in the U.S. Well, people I know.
Well,
both in my family here.
I gotta tell you, if I get everything set up, I'm going to set up a series of coffee shops, Veterans of Domestic Wars, Starbucks. Look out.
Excellent. Go for it.
Well, probably we'll never get around to it, at least in this life, but I could. But if I thought it was a natural veterans, we have veterans of foreign wars for the military people, and then we have veterans of domestic wars for everybody else. Which reminds me, just wanted to do a shout out for my brother who served in a Pershing unit in Germany toward the end of the Cold War, which, from what he's reported, was not exactly as cold as people thought.
Oh, okay. You know, this year I did actually manage to get my ham radio license, so that's something.
So what are you in a new house, or did you redo the old house?
Well, we had, when we moved here first, long story, but then again, we have 26 hours, so pull up a chair. We had a... it's an expensive part of the country. It's like right beside the media park where, all the rich people live, basically. So I was for the laugh on one of these property websites and going around 2 million, 1 million, blah, and then this house for affordable at the time. And Kevin had a look, and by Dutch standards, a nice big back garden of place. The house itself was a mess, opened the back window on the second floor, and the entire wooden facade falls down. So we had enough money to renovate the house. So, and that basically the entire thing was gutted except the sidewall at the sidewall and a bit of the wall at the front. So we restored the roof to what it was. We lowered the floor to give us more space on the second floor, and that allowed us a kind of standing room in the attic. And then we basically ran out of money, and for 20 years we've been living here without the walls being painted and stuff, because we had kids and everything in between. So then one thing and another, now became the right time to do the inside, because if we don't do it now, then we're never going to do it. So we had basically a bit of a side patio, and we there was originally a sort of a dunny, an outdoor toilet, and then that was covered over, and there was another toilet and built on, and then built onto that was like a hobby room, and built onto that was a garden shed, and we had knocked all of these together to make a room, but it was never wide enough, and it was too deep, and we tried it as a bedroom, it didn't work. We tried it as a playroom for the kids, it didn't work, and I was working out there for a while, and it didn't work either. So we basically just knocked that, and then built a proper room at the back. And the basement we lowered by about half a meter as well, so I can now stand down here, and it's insulated, it's got floor heating and regular heating, so it's a nice actual room. It's a nice place to work. And we all the rooms we put in, fitted wardrobes into, and then did all the floors again, painted everything again. So every room had something done in it. So therefore we moved to another house so that the builders could just have a clean run of the house. And that was for 3 months. It was only supposed to be for two, but it turned out to be for three. And then we moved back. They were still working on it for a month. And then there was, with the COVID situation, the deliveries were delayed and stuff. And some of the contractors had to come back again because of timing and things not being done. So yesterday, the furniture arrived for the, like, we've been sitting in garden furniture in the living room. So yesterday, the furniture arrived. So that's a long story short. No, a short story turned into a long story. You're welcome.
Well, congratulations. Also on YouTube, there's a Belgian couple who were refurbishing an old Belgian farm for housing. And that's amazing.
Very dangerous thing if you start, because you have no idea what you're going to run into. So now here we had, in the back garden, there was apparently a pond there at one stage. And then they just filled it up with rummel. What's rummel? Rubble and, you know, old bricks and corrugated iron and God knows what sort of rubbish. So those three guys for like a whole day digging it out so that they could put in the foundations for the extension. So always very dangerous.
Well, I've got a granite foundation.
That'll do it.
And we've had to put in a new water line a couple years ago now, I guess. And but by sealing up around the water line, it reduced a lot of my wet basement issues.
It's good to get some relief from that sort of stuff. To be honest, you know, when you're building and you're looking at everything and you're making sure that everything's been painted and everything that's on the list is done, you're very focused on the details. Like, all probably coming from the autism as well, but very focused on looking at the details and not having to pull myself back and go, no, have a look at the whole house. It's much improved. It's far better, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, someone did that to my home farm up in Maine. It used to be my grandmother's place.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with this house is my parents were adamant that while they were raising kids in it, it was not our home because our name was not on the deed.
Okay, very welcoming.
We could be held responsible for things, but we could not claim plank ownership of any kind.
Yeah, very interesting.
My dad believed that he was the only one worth anything here because he got a paycheck, and his wife, who was a housewife, and his kids did not get a paycheck. Therefore, they had no cash value. Therefore, they were an expense and should kiss his boots.
Not uncommon in the 50s, truth be told.
Well, it was interesting being raised as a 50s kid in the 60s.
Yeah.
Especially with I could observe that you could do your own thing as long as it looked like the thing of the person sitting in front of you and the girl behind, beside you or in back of you. If you're actually doing something different, that could probably be declared square and therefore beyond the pale. But then again, being here in the Boston area as a refugee from two small towns where my folks were raised, you see, my grandparents were very welcoming, far more than my parents.
Were they from Boston?
God, no. My mother was from a small town in Maine, and my dad was from a small town in West Virginia, and we were raised small town values, hunting. You know, my mother was a church-going woman, well, inoculatory Christian. She went 1 hour a week, which gave her a step up above the heathens that she was living with.
Very good.
She's Protestant, but I believe that it's not a denominational thing. I believe that there's probably righteous in all religions.
Particularly mine.
I wouldn't.
I'm an Irish Catholic, which means I'm Catholic when I go to Ireland. It's just simpler than saying you're an atheist. And so much of the culture there is around the church, in fairness.
Well, I'm from the Boston area, and you know, the shenanigans that they pulled with, you know, priests who were doing things that they shouldn't.
Yeah. Pretty much everywhere.
Also, a thriving parish was shut down in my town because it had a Voice of the People chapter in it.
And what's that?
Devout Catholics wanting a say in the running of their churches.
We'll be having none of that now. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Well, one of my one of the people, if you want to hear the good side of good, bad, and indifferent of the Catholic Church, read Andrew Greeley's works.
No, I can take them and I can leave them, and I choose to leave them, to be honest.
Well, I'm a Protestant, and he helped restore my faith in faith far more than churchmen of my own denomination.
Yeah, glad to hear it. I wish, I really do wish that it did it for me, but it doesn't.
Well, his stuff is everything from science fiction to analysis of the church, and some of it's spiritual, some of it's, a lot of it's mysteries. I mean, he does a good Sherlock Holmes type thing. I'm just saying it's not just religious, it's good writing. And
what's the link? I'll throw it into the show notes.
Andrew Greeley, author. I don't know if there is a link. He passed away recently. But he was a
American scholar. Catholic priest.
Yes, and he's a father because he was also a statistician. And when he did some statistical work for the church, the answers didn't come out the way that the hierarchy liked.
Interesting. Might track some of the stuff down.
He also did some nonfiction stuff about the church and whatnot. What was interesting that he said that there are basically two churches. There's the church of the parishes, and then there's the hierarchy.
Yeah.
And while the hierarchy would like them to enforce things like the papal encyclical on birth control and whatnot.
Yeah.
The parishes don't do that because they'd like to have more than three old ladies sitting in church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I remember that when Ireland, the pill was about to be legalized, and there was a missal sent around where everybody, all the priests had to, were commanded to read out this missal to everybody as part of the sermon. And I remember some very religious ladies who are, some of whom are still with us and some who are no longer with us, saying, if the Pope had 15 kids running around his legs over there in the Vatican, he would have another completely different idea as to whether to allow the pill or not. And that was that, pretty much up and down the country. And yeah, there were people who didn't agree with it, but the old women had spoken, basically.
Well, I find the papal response, you know, where you get all of the church scholars together, you have them sitting in the Vatican writing up support for, you know, modern sexuality and birth control and whatnot back in the 60s. And the Pope just dismisses it and says, well, sorry, but that's too much of a risk to my power.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Then in the West, the Pope did more to fracture the church by saying, welcome to 1848, than a lot of the liberal stuff would have done.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong there.
Well, 1848 is when the Pope, or something like that, is when the Pope declared himself infallible.
Anyway. Sorry, I'm trying to look up a microphone part number here while I'm doing this. Yes, the church. Ah, I gotta love them. Spent some time in the seminary myself as a youth. Not as basically renting rooms there, but I was able to. I had my meals with the candidate priests, and I never saw the point of the guys who were with the Benedictines. They took a vow of celibacy and poverty and obedience straight off for a year for their entire training and had to redo it every year. And those guys were more clued into, you know, the religious life. You could imagine them being like a Cadfael of the world, but the diocesan priests should just be married, really. And I thought that then, but now, after having kids myself, you really need to experience that. If you're going to be preaching about it, if you're going to be lecturing to somebody about it, you need to experience it. It helps, at least.
One of the things that Greeley put forward was that the priesthood also should consider an enlistment-style situation where, you know, someone can be a priest for so many years and then decide to serve or get married or whatnot and not necessarily be locked in.
Yeah, but the whole celibacy, the only thing that's stopping somebody from marrying is the Jesuit requirement to for celibacy. And that came from the university systems at the time, where if you wanted to be a teacher or a worker or a professor in a university, you had to be celibate. And in order to gain access to that, the Jesuits enforced celibacy on their members, and then that became basically the doctrine. It also was very convenient for property and all the rest of it, but there is basically no requirement in the entire history of the church. It's only a relatively recent phenomenon that priests have not been able to marry. Here in the Netherlands, there are priests are still allowed to be married. So,
well,
I think it's a failing of the church. It's if you're going to be offering advice to somebody, if you were going to a mental counselor, right, and you wanted to talk about child issues, and I see that when I'm going around to non-mental counselor, but say I'm going around to somebody who's dealing with issues with kids, teachers basically, say you go to a teacher and you're talking about issues with the kids, the teachers who have kids themselves are more clued in to your experiences than the teachers who are fresh out of college and basically have no kids. Not saying that everybody should have kids, it would be a terrible world if we were all the same, but there are instances where it would help.
Yes. Well, one of the interesting science fiction books is a series, rather. It was by a Polish person who was, he does basically Connecticut Yankees in King Arthur's court, but he does it based around the Mongol invasion of Poland and somebody from modern Poland going back to ancient Poland, basically modernizing the country and giving them some defense against the Mongol hordes, among other things. But the deal is...
Sorry, what's this called? I'll look it up for the show notes.
His name is Frankowski, I think. It's a whole series, High Tech Knight, Radiant Warrior. There's a whole bunch of them. Lord Conrad's Lady are three off the top. But the deal is that he goes back to Poland in the time when before the celibacy edicts were in the Polish area,
mm-hmm.
where while the church was still busy rewriting history like Ah, you're a married priest? Well, if we enforce these new regulations, you never were married, Crapru, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But it was an interesting take on history.
Leo Fronowski?
Link in the show notes.
Oh, you already got it?
Ah.
Oh.
Betcha.
We're 5 minutes away from New Zealand. And Tatu is not joining us, apparently. Nor is McNallu. All the regulars on the Wednesday night D&D thing. I'm not saying I'm angry. Just very, very disappointed.
Well, friends.
4 minutes.
Good luck to all Kiwis.
Yes.
Somebody had a little Kiwi sticker on a vehicle here, and they were surprised that an American knew what that meant.
It's called a buzzer. It's not a microphone, it's a buzzer. What has that got to do with anything? Well, I've been looking for the... I've got a load of buzzers here, and I'm using this as an opportunity to sort out my component trays. Pigeonhole boxes, you know those things? And I knew I had them somewhere, but I couldn't find them. But now I have them. There we go. Thanks. Sorry to interrupt the flow.
You were talking earlier. Is dunny the same thing as an outhouse, or is that the same thing as a bathroom?
Dunny's an outhouse, yeah.
Okay.
In Australian terms.
Right.
One of the things that they modernized in my grandmother's home in Maine was putting in flush toilets and a bathroom in the main part of the house. But the most interesting thing about it was that there was a basically servant's wing. The farmhouse was originally built for a judge, and it was a pretty good sized farm. But the outhouse that was the original bathroom, including where the tub was out at the end of a long wing, and it was a two level affair. There was on the upper level was the outhouse for the main house, and down below there was a garage like thing that was served as a woodshed, and it had its own level of the outhouse.
So you don't want to be sitting on the bottom level when somebody's on the top level?
Well, things were made to misalign appropriately, but it was always something that the family raised there was, you know, had a little fun with.
Oh, I'm sure.
But also it was, I mean, they had water piped in, but out in the dooryard there was also a pitcher pump that you had to prime, and where water was gotten for the chickens and some of the livestock that was down on the lower farm. I still dream about that place.
Yeah, funny how pumping water and bringing it to far distant places where animals are burns all in your memory, speaking from experience here.
Well, they had a large dairy barn that was standing until a few years ago. A wooden structure with a roof that isn't regularly repaired has a limited lifetime.
That is true, yeah.
But as a kid, I was up there, you know, and I shoveled some manure and I lugged hay. And it was an amazing experience because my mother's family's farm was a milk can situation, milking into cans or into a big container that would be poured into a milk can, filtered, whatever.
While
my father's was, at least back in the day when it was still a dairy, it had bulk. It didn't have a milking parlor. I mean, it was still milking at the stalls in the lower level of the barn, but it was a fairly modern affair with bulk milk storage and whatnot, and you know, the silver truck coming to empty the bulk tank every so often. Also, when my grandfather was alive, his farm was a loose hay operation. Some of the equipment there I've seen, including a loose hay hay wain loader. That was an interesting piece of equipment that I've seen in some Amish video.
When you say loose hay, not baled, you mean put straight into the hay shed just as hay?
Put into the wagon as hay.
Yeah.
Forked on, forked off.
Slavery.
Put into the hay mow using a big ass, well, they call it a hay fork, but.
Hay fork, I was going to say, yeah. Two prong, I'm guessing.
Also, one, if you want to go with the hello and
Thankfully, we only did that a few times. We did it a few times when I was really, really young. I can remember we were even doing it with a NAS and cart at one stage. And then I remember 20 diesel being used to bring it in that we borrowed from somebody.
Yeah, well, I remember then, it being done with an old pickup truck at one time.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody got the bright idea to try to train an ox that they were had on the property for some reason. And they put the yoke on it and a rope, and somebody had a bit of a sleigh ride on the wet hay, on the wet grass, rather, when the ox decided it didn't like having this thing around its neck.
Well, was it not trained to it?
I don't think they started young enough to really break it in.
Okay, that's going to be a problem. There's a place, an open-air museum that we go to. They actually have B&Bs, you know, modern B&Bs, disguised as old B&Bs, but it's kind of nice. And they have their training to oxen from calves the whole way up. So, and that guy is documenting it on Facebook as well. I'll see if I can find it.
Well, one of the interesting things up in Maine near where I used to go is that they actually had some Scottish cattle, the long furred one. Well, my grandfather's farm was converted to Black Angus after they stopped dairying.
Tracking down this link?
Well, back along when I was a kid, I saw somebody with a horse and a ground-driven sickle bar mower. Round here, they use them for lawn
sickle
ornaments.
Bar mower? What's that? The big long one that folds down with the thing at the end?
Yeah, basically behaves like a huge hedge trimmer.
Yeah, I've changed blades and those things. Regular. Rivets. Take out the rivets. Try and drill the rivets out. Put the rivets back in. Didn't have a rivet. Tried to do it with a nail. Oh, my God. Yes.
Well, some of the stuff that farmers do, I remember as a kid seeing a cousin who was famous for building these tractors out of basically junk. He was drilling through angle iron with a large egg beater drill.
Yeah.
Well, his house was up on the hill, and I don't believe that they had electricity to it, or at least they didn't have any access to the yard. He was one of those guys who everybody sort of teased him about picking the dump, but when they needed a random part, they would
talk
to him first. Well, you know, farmers would get...
Never throw anything away.
We'll get stuff done in an amazing way.
There they are. Oh my God, they've grown. I'm looking at the bullocks now. Oxen. They have their own Facebook page, but I can't find it.
Well, I've got to step away for a moment. I'll be right
Don't
back.
Go. Don't leave me now. No, go. It's fine. Isaac and James. That's it. Isaac and James. There we are. Okay. Yes, they've got their own website or their own Facebook page. The lengths that I go to, Honky, to fill out your show notes. I hope you appreciate this.
I do indeed.
All I got from that entire conversation was two bullocks that were in the Archeon. Farming, that's how I got into IT. Anything is better than farming. That was my personal view on the matter.
That seems about right.
Slavery, it was. And I don't mean to degrade enslaved persons there, but really, you begin to get an understanding of what it is like to be put into forced labor.
Personally, I barely even like working in the yard.
Yep.
Mowing is about my extent of what I like to do. And my wife will take care of the garden and stuff, and she'll go out there and pull some weeds, and God bless her, because I hate it. I don't like doing it at all.
My wife loves gardening, but yeah, it's just farming. You need to be constantly, constantly on the ball, constantly watching, constantly every day, even though you're not doing a lot. You need to be constantly on your guard. And as soon as if you're sick or anything, they sense it and will try and take advantage of it, the animals. Like, and then as far as everything else is concerned, we should be so glad that we're living in the economies that we are, that you can go down to the store and just buy stuff. Having to grow your crop, and then if there's bad weather, then you're screwed.
Yep.
Although, yeah. Anyway, enough about that. Yes. So when are you doing your amateur radio exam?
Never.
Come on.
Well, my thing is, I don't know who I'm going to talk to.
Yeah, it's not about talking to anybody. I've got my ticket now, and I've not even pressed. I don't own a radio. Well, I do, but it's one of those bowfang things that have since been deemed illegal. I've never talked to anybody. To be honest, I've no interest in talking to anybody. Don't see the point, because, you know, you can go on Mumble here and talk to people all over the world. What I do see the point in, though, is that from a hacking point of view, it was a huge big gap in my knowledge that has been filled in. How does Wi-Fi work? How does that click on work? How does your Bluetooth work? How's your headphones? If something's acting up, is it the signal or is it something in your headphones? See what I mean?
Yeah, and for me, there's a lot of things like that. I need to sit down and go through a lot of electrical type stuff, and then soldering, and then radio. The whole radio frequencies and waves is very interesting as well.
And the thing about it is that it's a standardized course more or less around the world. I mean, with the HAREC thing that we're doing on HPR. Just did you know about that?
What, that the course is standardized?
Yeah, there's on HPR. I'm doing a course. Within Europe, there's this harmonized European amateur radio exam thing. And the final, what will be in the US? What's this? It's the top level. So as an amateur, a full license, basically, let's call it a full license. So it means that if I get a full license here in the Netherlands, I could go to England and use my call sign there for 3 months with a slash UK in front of it or whatever.
Cool.
And they can operate here. But if you move between countries, then you can just apply for a license and they recognize your HAREC certificate. So each of the individual countries have got a certificate. And then if that's recognized by the HAREC thing, then you can just get a HAREC certificate and then hand it to the other ones, and then you can get a call sign over there as well. So I've ended up now with a UK call sign and a Dutch call sign, and I could basically, because that's just the way it worked out. But the US also signs up for it. So if the US, you can also study for it. So the idea of the HAREC exam is, and why I'm interested on HPR, is that if you do it, then you're more or less covered to pass whatever it is exam that's going to be in your local area. Yes, there are going to be things that you're going to need to know in your local area that don't apply in somewhere else. So, for example, in Ireland, inland waterways are considered to be maritime operation, whereas in the UK, inland waterways are considered to be just mobile operation. You know, small subtleties like that, and you will get examined on that. But that's, you know, read the thing a few times, read the license conditions a few times and you should be okay. But for all the other stuff, what it does is, if you've got an amateur radio ticket, it means that the basis, everybody has a basis level in electronics, a basis level in understanding a lot of things like safety, like radio propagation, how to build a radio, how stuff works. And that's quite high, actually. It's interestingly high. You know, you wouldn't be shocked to describe somebody, you know, how an oscilloscope works or something like that, because you should have come across it in your exam. So it gives you a nice, good foundation on various different subjects, not all of which is maths-based. Quite a lot of it is just health and safety and stuff. So it gives you a really good understanding of bits and pieces. Filled up an awful lot of gaps for me that I had in my education.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, back to the HAREC thing. So they've published a syllabus of stuff that you're supposed to know in order to, if you're doing an exam, if you're a country X. So I create a new country and I sign up for the HAREC exam, then it needs to cover all these things in order to be recognized and vice versa. So why not? So then I'm using that as like a request for shows, that whole thing, like resistors. What's a resistor? It's this. Health and safety, how to put a ladder against a wall, that sort of stuff. So all these topics for shows, it's an open series. Anybody can help out. And that will be on the website with all the various different topics. And then right beside that, we can have a link to all the shows. So if you're studying for your exam, don't know about something, you can click in it and then you'll get it.
Very cool.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, my dad always wanted to be a ham, but never dropped the hammer.
So in a weird way, me sorting out my buzzers here on the desk is related to that. I need to go upstairs, A, to get coffee, and B, to check and see how my daughter, she's gone away for a few days, how she's getting on. Back in a bit.
All right.
There's a fellow I could chat with until Valentine's Day at least.
Yep. So have you done anything with your pies?
Not a heck of a lot. I was more or less tunneling into a couple of the worst cluttered rooms, saving the pie stuff for later, and I may order a high quality drive to go with the desktop drive for my Pi server.
Cool. Now, was your plans for the Pi 400 to be more like a client?
Pi 400 is going to be, yes, Swiss Army knife. That's why it may run Android sometime.
Have you checked out any of those the Android things to try to get Kindle working?
I'm told that under Play on Linux, the Windows client will run.
Did you ever download that version of Makulu Linux that had the ability to install Android APKs?
I have not, but some stuff has just been slipping, you know.
Oh, I got you.
Slipping under everything, especially lately.
Yeah, I need to. I got a Pi 4 4GB that I had that I was actually running a while ago as a way to play video games on upstairs in the living room. And shortly after I had gotten the thing set up, I was able to, they called a Steam Link. So I was able to play Steam games where the game originated down here on one of the laptops, and it would stream it up to the living room. Shortly after I got it all set up, my time to be able to play games just got really short. I don't remember why, whatever reason. I had less time to play games, so it just sat up there. And now I'm trying to figure out what to use the Pi 4 for, since I'm not really using it for that anymore.
A NAS?
I got a NAS.
A streaming server for HBR.
No, that one of my options was to try to get DiaPi on there and then use it as like a small desktop and put Mumble on it and then use DiaPi to install, because DiaPi will install IceCast and Dark Ice. The problem is I have Dark Ice set up on the other regular Raspberry Pi, and I would have to get something to the Dark Ice to get to it. So I was like, all right, I'll just use the Pi 4, set up a small desktop on it, install Mumble, Dark Ice, Mumble, and IceCast, and I'll have it all on the Raspberry Pi 4 and do that. And I kept on downloading an image from DiaPi 4, the Raspberry Pi 4, and there was, I would use Etcher to put it on the SD card, and I kept on getting an error. Some error, because it would do the installation, and then with Etcher it does the installation, and then it does a quality check on it. When it did the quality check, it kept on giving me an error, and everything that came from DiaPi kept on throwing up an error. So I don't know what the issue was with that, but so I wasn't able to put it under there. But I had a laptop which I had initially I had thrown a version of Manjaro KDE onto that I. The idea was to try to get it set up as the streaming server, but didn't, and then it went back to being. So now I have Manjaro KDE with Mumble, IceCast, and Butt on, and it's working.
Cool. Pretty good.
But don't forget Raspberry Pi Imager.
Yes. I usually use Etcher or DD.
I'm just saying that Raspberry Pi Imager will do most of the stuff that Etcher will.
Yeah, Etcher is basically just like a front end for DD. And Archer 72, it says his next task was recording vinyl to Pi 4.
There's supposed to be some good, high quality DACs available for the Pi. So if you want to go to Hat Root, you can get some pretty good stuff.
Well, I went with the, from a Pi 4, I went with the fanless case, where so it's the all metal case, so I didn't have to deal with a fan. So the hats would be hard to get on, at least in its current form. And apparently Archer 72 is coming out with an episode soon about his recording vinyl to a Pi 4.
Okay, hashtag Omiya Show.
Well, I've got a bunch of vinyl here, but I'd never bought a turntable to take it off. Also, some of my vinyl is pretty beat up.
I ripped a bunch of my DVDs a while back, and I put it on my hard drive that I use for network storage. And to be honest, I just don't listen to music as much as I used to.
Big box of vinyl from my father passed away, so I have all his VCR cassettes and audio cassettes to digitize in the new year. That's on my list.
I think my house was purged of cassettes and VHS a while back.
Yeah, so was mine, and I got rid of all my kit, so now I have to rebuild it again.
Well, I've got a couple of very good cassette player recorders. These are components. May have to see if I can get bring them into town and see if I can get any money for them.
You're trying to press file save on the show notes. My sister-in-law's due over shortly to take my daughter away for the weekend, so I will be disappearing at that point for a while for dinner. Just FYI.
All right. Sure, I got to get going in a few minutes anyways. The kids are up and they're getting restless, so gotta fix some breakfast, get some more coffee in me.
Yep, coffee is king.
Yeah. Odd question. Do you listen to the Lugcast?
Yes, but I'm way behind.
Okay,
way behind.
What are your? Do you have any thoughts about the direction that the podcast is going? We don't get a whole lot of feedback. Like nobody really emails us anything, so I'm just kind of throwing it out there to anybody who may be listening.
Yep, I'll put that in the show notes. And actually, do a HBR episode on that one because that's a good way to ask for feedback. Well, actually, ask for feedback in your own show would be a good way to get feedback.
Okay, now that I mention
it. Although that said, as I'm so far behind, I probably won't hear it until I'm back working again. I lost so much podcast listening time due to my commute. Amazing how not having to travel 3 hours a day cuts down your podcast listening experience.
I my commute hasn't changed, but all of a sudden I just started to go back to some audiobooks, and that kind of killed like the whole month of December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot more people podcasting now. It's even becoming a thing.
I keep my podcast list is still pretty low, personally.
It's
pretty much U-Random, Tilts, Mintcast, HBR, Podnut stuff when Dorkin podcast. I was just since we've been using Jitsi a lot, I feel like some of the conversation has been turning into talking about what we see on Jitsi. Yeah. Ooh, we're behind.
You're ruining the spoilers. I said no spoilers.
Well, we don't put out a video stream, but we're usually on Jitsi.
Yeah.
Because Minix set up a Jitsi server, so we're all connected through Jitsi. We have the part at the we do during the pre-show, which then again gets lumped onto the end, Tilt style, where we do we pick a movie and we all watch the movie, because every show we spend like a good time before the show talking about different movies and shows that we've been watching recently. So Danny came up with the idea of, why don't we just create a giant list of tech related movies, and we pick a movie, randomly pick a movie from the list, and we all watch it, and then the next week during the pre-show we talk about the mm-hmm. the movie. So we've started doing that, and like I said, we've introduced Jitsi, so there's a lot of conversation. You know, we can see a lot of each other, and I'm not sure how that affects the podcast itself. So if you ever get around to it, I welcome any and all feedback.
Put that into the show notes. My guests have arrived, so I need to nip up. So I'll be quiet for a while. Talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later. I gotta pop out and I gotta get the kids some breakfast. I'll be right back.
I'll hold down the fort.
Thank you, sir. Pie and coffee. Breakfast of champions.
Just setting up the show notes on my machines.
Did you have trouble finding it?
Not really, once I got the HBR site.
And Happy New Year to Fiji, small regions of Russia, and seven more.
Hello, Tony.
Hello, Ken. How are you? Can you hear me?
I don't know if Ken is here. I can hear you.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was Ken. Is that Honky?
No, this is Netminer.
Oh, Netminer. Hi. Hi, Netminer. You can hear me okay, though.
Yes. May I ask where you're calling from? You have a lovely accent.
I'm from Blackpool in the UK. It's Tony H from the, ex-Mintcast host and Distro Hoppers Digest. I don't know whether you listen to any of those shows.
I'm really behind on my podcast, I must say.
Yeah, I just thought I'd bob in. I remembered that it was on. I thought I'd bob in and see what was happening. You're up early, because it's, what is it, about 7:30 your time?
Yep. Did you say Blackpool?
Blackpool in the UK, on the west coast of the UK, yeah.
I've heard of it as a vacation destination.
It is, yeah. It's been a vacation place for over 100 years. It goes back to Victorian times.
Well, I'm south of Boston, and there's lots of places like that, including a place called Nantasket, where they used to have a roller coaster and carnival type setup.
Oh, yeah, we've got all that here in Blackpool.
Well, I think that's what reminded me of this area of Blackpool and some of your other coastal areas.
Yeah, you're clipping a bit, Netminer. Don't know whether... Are you on push-to-talk?
Yeah, I am on push-to-talk. It's a key combination, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just clipping, that was all.
Okay, I just have to press a little earlier and leave it a little longer, I guess.
Yeah. So what's happening over there today? Anything?
Pretty quiet. No snow so far to speak of.
We've not had any of that yet. In fact, it's very mild at the moment over here.
Hi, everybody. Roisin's about to go away and she wants to wish everybody a...
Hello!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
See you later, Dolly. We're back in a minute.
All right. Cheers, Ken. See you in a bit.
Nice to hear you, ma'am. As I've said before, there is a gentleman I could speak from now till Valentine's.
He's a nice guy, Ken.
And I guess he has a lovely daughter. No, I don't.
I've never met his family. I've only ever met Ken. Never met his family. Or I don't recall meeting him anyway.
Well, I assume that a gentleman's daughter is lovely. It's safer that way. Also, being on the other side of the pond is a safe distance, even for the most jealous papa.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So what are your plans for the day?
Well, I thought I'd bob in here for a little while. I've got a new PC that I got just before Christmas. I'm going to do a bit more exploring with that and do a bit of modelling. I restored diecast model cars, so I'll probably do a little bit of that later.
Well, that sounds like a bit of work. Some of them are pretty detailed.
Yeah, I tend to go for the smaller ones, the Matchbox, the 164 scale. I have got a few Dinky and Corgis that I'm going to have a go at them as well, but so far I've mainly done the smaller ones.
Well, still, I had a bunch of Matchboxes as a kid, and restoring them and detailing them that's fine work.
I don't do an awful lot of detailing. I tend to go more with the way the factory used to produce them. So if they didn't have a lot of detail on them in the first place, which most of them didn't, I don't tend to put an awful lot of detail on them. I did a short series for HPR about it a while back.
So what kind of work do you do on them?
Pull them apart, strip the paint off the metal parts, polish up. If they've got windscreens, the plastic windscreens, if they're scratched and stuff, polish them up, clean all the plastics, clean the wheels and the axles, and then reassemble them. like I say, I can't remember when it was. Let me have a look. It's a while ago. HP. Let's go to HP. Our website.
Welcome, Dave.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Tony.
Thought I'd seen your name there pop in.
I was just listening to the discussion. The you're hunting your episodes on HPR.
Yeah. I'm just looking for where they've got to. I can't remember whether it was last year or the year before.
Ooh, do you know, I can't remember either. Strange how these years merge.
No, it was last year. It was last year.
Yeah.
Episodes 3073 to... 3073 was the start of it, and then 3088, 3098, 3109, 3124, and 3136.
Cool. You can
and I was a naughty boy this year. I haven't done an episode.
I managed to get in straight in
after the new year, though.
No, that's good. It's been a funny year. I mean, everybody's been messed up in various ways, I think.
Yeah, I just got sidetracked with other podcasts and stuff. Mintcast and Distro Hoppers.
Oh, right, that's right. You said that. Have I heard your show yet? There's a show in the pipeline,
I've got a show coming up on the 4th of January.
Okay.
And I mention it in that.
Mm-hmm. See, I process your notes, and I think you wrote everything in your notes that you're probably going to say, or quite a lot of it. So I read that.
for a change, I actually wrote the notes after I recorded the show.
Oh,
normally,
cool.
That's
good. Yeah.
So, it's the notes are a little bit more verbose than the actual show.
Yeah, I started doing it on HBR by writing myself scripts, and then I listened back to it, and it was dreadful. Because, you know, you can tell this guy's reading it, you know, just be more natural. But, I mean, some people can read naturally, of course, but I can't.
when I'm doing things like the Matchbox ones, I do a script for that, because... Obviously, you're telling people how to do things. So.
Yes, I now write a sort of bullet list of the main points, and then just work around those. You know, with a bit of chit chat, and you know, it's. I used to work in a university where sometimes I had to give presentations, and the classic way was to make a slide deck that you then put up, and there were bullet points on it, and I found that I could just go through the bullet points, remember what I was thinking when I put them there, and then say, you know, blah 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 about whatever it was, you know, which seemed more interesting than just reading some notes anyway.
Yeah, well, in my upcoming show, I briefly mentioned my new computer, but I've managed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got my very very first Linux computer. Didn't have to pay the Windows tax.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's really
not
good.
That I normally pay it anyway, because normally most of my kit's second hand, so it's already been paid by someone else. Yeah. But this is the first.
I've only won that battle twice, I think. Once buying a Triple E PC, I said to the people selling it to me that I wanted the Windows discount, and that was when they were being sold with Linux on it, so they said, well, there's no Windows tax anyway, so there you go. That was very early days of Triple EPC, I think. But
I got the Acer.
The other one was I don't know if you were there, won a laptop at OddCamp, and that was
I might have been,
a Linux only. That was Entraware.
I was going to buy my PC from Entraware originally, but the one I wanted was out of stock. So someone suggested going and having a look at Juno.
Right.
And I've got one of these little micro PCs.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw your notes, like I say. I know I'm ahead of the game as far as this is concerned.
So you bobbed over to Juno and had a look, did you?
I certainly did. Yeah. It's quite tempting, I have to say. So, yeah, good pointer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but it's a cracking machine. Didn't quite spec it out to the top spec because that would probably cost me another 1500 quid. But, you know, 1 terabyte NVMe and 32 gig of RAM's probably ample for what I use.
That is pretty impressive. Yeah. Yeah. It should be good. Yeah. It's quite a beast of a machine from what I saw from your notes there. And yeah. Yeah. They seem quite tempting, I have to say. I've got a build your own machine I did in 2013, an i7, but i7s in those days are a lot more weedy than anything available these days.
I've gone from a generation 3 i7, so about 9 years old, something like that, to this, and I tell you what, it flies.
Yeah, I bet.
You think you're already on some decent kit, you think, and then suddenly you upgrade to the latest kit and you went, wow.
Yeah, it's so easy to slip behind, isn't it, not realizing what you're missing. So yeah, good for you.
Yeah, but it's going to make audio editing for the distro hoppers really easy.
Yeah. That's quite an important factor, isn't it? Yeah, it's. I used to think, well, I won't use the power in these things, but I tried to use my Entraware laptop for a Jitsi meeting. We have a sort of a thing called Podcrawl that I used to go to physically, where you go and meet up with other podcasts and people interested. We used to go to Glasgow for that, but now we're doing virtual ones over Jitsi. And by time. Yeah, you should come along. It's there was one 18th of December. I think there's going to be another one in the new year sometime. I'm not sure when exactly, but yeah, they're quite good things just to get together and chat and whatever. But my i3 Entraware looked at 12 people on this Jitsi call. No way, chum. It just wouldn't. It's And I thought it was bandwidth or something, but I've just had fiber installed here, so I should get, you know, on a good day, I get a gigabit. So
Who are you with for your broadband?
There's a company called City Fiber. Are they in your part of the world?
I think they may be coming here, but they're not here yet.
They're going all over the country. I know they're in places like Newcastle, possibly Manchester, I'm not sure. But, Edinburgh was quite high on the list. So they were here digging trenches a few years
ago. If it's not really down, how much do you have to pay for that?
About £32 a month.
What, for gigabit?
No. That doesn't give you gigabit. I went with the 300 megabits deal.
Right.
But if there's no contention, you can often check it and you're getting 100, you're getting a gigabit. And you're getting the same speed up and down a lot of the time, which is so important when you're into podcasting. You know, the days of whatever it was on ADSL, like 1.5 megabits.
Well, I get 10 up. Mm-hmm. And when we record when I used to record Mintcast, when I was uploading my audio to Drive, it could take up to 10 minutes. But with that kind of speed, if you've got 300 up, it'd be there in a flash.
Absolutely. I haven't actually done a show since I got it in, so I've got to do something quick so I can see how fast.
What?
It would. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, see, Ken, I knew Ken. That would trigger Ken. Absolutely.
From the spawn, evil he comes. Doing a show, he will appear.
Say that word. Say it three times, looking in the mirror, that's and legit. you'll be finished. Yeah. So yeah. So I'm looking forward to trying high speed uploads. So yes, it's really good. I got wireless 6 with it as well. I got a nice router. So the wireless in the house is now amazing compared to what it was on crappy old, ordinary high street style routers and stuff. So yeah.
Wow.
Makes a big difference. So what used to happen was my kids would arrive with multiple phones, laptops, and iPads and stuff, and then all of a sudden the wireless would go out because I think, you know, it just the number of connections was with straining the TP link or whatever it was to its utmost, which I do find surprising, but it seems to be the case. But this one I've got, the Wireless 6 one, is, they reckon, you know, you're looking at 50 connections or something like that, you should be able to get through it. Don't know the precise number, but certainly talk about it quite a lot.
Arch is left.
That was his mobile instance.
Yeah. Yeah.
It pops in and out all the time.
Cool. So how are you, Ken? Are you okay?
I'm doing okay, yeah.
Have you got any new restrictions there? Because I know continent...
Yes, we are in lockdown.
You're in lockdown?
Yeah, we're in lockdown for 2 weeks. Ooh. We're already in lockdown for 2 weeks, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring this up, something that I heard on YouTube. Our country has decided to reduce the required isolation times and quarantines for COVID if you're not symptomatic.
Yeah, I think you've still got to wear a mask after the 5 days, though, haven't you?
Well, wearing a mask is a fairly standard thing for a lot of stuff. A lot of businesses are requiring it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that worries me is our public transportation requires it. And if your mask fails, you could be stranded.
Here, the public transport will give you a mask if you don't have one.
Yeah, well, I
don't. At least my daughter works as a trainee conductor. Trainee conductor, see what I did there, Dave? I'm hilarious.
Wow.
And they give out masks, or they fine you. Well, your call.
They charge you. They charge you in Blackpool. If you buy one on the tram, it costs you a quid.
Yeah, that's probably no harm. Should do that. But yeah, I think the people they're up against is we can fine you, or we can give you one.
Yeah.
I walk around with about three or four in my pocket, actually, just to,
yeah, I do.
in a plastic bag to keep them fairly good condition. Yeah.
So, I have a pack of 10 just so my inside of course, because I always forget to bring them.
Yeah, me too. Got some in my car and everywhere. It's just, you know, there's always a mask nearby.
I was reading a Guardian article today saying the general ones that most people wear aren't that effective for preventing the virus, though. And the ones we should be using, the government are not advising us to use when they should be.
Yes, they want to maintain supplies for ER, so I kind of get that.
Yeah, I can understand that, but you can buy them, and apparently there's plenty of capacity now because they've ramped up. I went on eBay today and I was having a look at these masks, and you can buy them for about, they are more expensive than the little floppy ones, but you can buy them for about a quid each.
They're mandatory now in Austria.
What, the extra powerful one? Yeah.
Yeah, the 959 or 95 one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Says he bluffing. To be honest, I've had enough of COVID. It may feck off as far as I'm concerned.
The trouble is, it ain't going to, is it?
The mayors, the regional governments are saying, look, dudes, we need a better plan. We need to shorten the summer holidays and increase the Christmas holidays so that there's going to be lockdown in winter, and then in summer it's open. So that's what we got to do. Not sure I'm particularly happy with that, but there you go. It is what it is.
Mm.
Living with lockdown, I believe they're calling it now.
Yeah, you can work at home though, can't you?
Yep. Yeah. Although there was a period where they were requiring us to come in 3 days a week. Not sure how I felt about that. Was able to listen to a lot more podcasts because I've got a 3-hour commute of a day. So yeah, that's a lot more time.
Wow. So because you live, don't you live in Amsterdam?
No. I live outside of between Amsterdam and Utrecht. And
oh, right. Okay.
Kind of, if you draw a line between Amsterdam, Utrecht, and Amersfoort, that's kind of where I am. Hilversum, it was marked on the dials of the old radio stations, close to Hilversum.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that on the map when I looked.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that on the old radio station thing on the, on the old wind-up radio.
In a way, that's why I'm here, because the first job I got was with a satellite broadcaster who had their Station 12 satellite links, and they were all based here because of the media park. And the radio is based here because it's, and I'm doing massive air quotes here, high elevation in the Netherlands.
And, yeah. About 100 foot above sea level.
No, not even that. It's like above sea level. And but it's central, so that's where they broadcast a lot of the media from. And then there was a microwave tower system for emergency communications if ever a nuclear bomb hit. And in one of those towers is where I worked for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Before switching to work in Amersfoort. So, yeah, it goes around.
Like trying to say the highest point in Kansas.
Yeah, very much. Yes, Kansas does have a feel similar, except when I went to Kansas was the first place I went to visit in the States, actually. It was an eye-opener in many ways.
I've just realized Ahuka's show today is the 3,500th show.
No, it's 3,700th show.
Yeah,
do we have someone to greet?
800th, even, sorry, because I can't add.
Do we have someone to greet at the hour?
We do.
Ah, yes.
And it's Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra, and seven more. Welcome, Australia. Not all of Australia. A good bit of Australia. And in a half an hour, more people are going. No? Yeah, half an hour. Why? Why would they do that?
Best wishes, Peter 64.
Indeed. I haven't heard from him in a while.
And by the way, give my best to your lovely family.
I'm presuming that's for everybody, not just me.
Well, since you had the young ladies, I figured that would put you ahead of the game.
Yeah. She's gone off to her aunt today. And so we'll have the other two on. Patrick will more or less be hijacking this in the night when everybody's asleep, so that's fine.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a time and date. Down.
Yes, I will.
And Sydney's just celebrated the New Year.
And just throw this on speakers. Give me a second. Somebody say something.
Hello.
Say hi.
This is Sydney. Hi.
She recorded the show.
Wishes to Sydney Watson.
Hello, everybody.
Who are we on? Dave, Tony, and who's the last?
And our backyard tech friend.
So?
Yeah, Patrick will be on the whole night, pretty much.
Yeah. He's been looking forward to it all year.
And I've got Mumble as well, so I can annoy him the whole night.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
We need more of the distaff side.
You need more what? Can we get over it?
We need more of the distaff side on the podcasting platforms.
So we've recorded a show together, haven't we?
I still need to.
Where is that show? Oh yeah, what was that? You promised me that you would listen to it in the holidays and make sure it was okay. Yes. Okay, excellent. Yes. Thanks for reminding me about
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's a good show actually. Just tell people what it is.
It's about stations and what you can find on them in the Netherlands.
The tech around a station and how it works. And it's the how it works part that we're kind of a little bit nervous about, because we don't want to be releasing any information that wouldn't be public.
Jeopardizing my future career.
Jeopardizing my future career, yes. That's the words we're looking for, yeah. Sometimes I forget that Dutch is not your native language. Jeopardizing my future career. Right, okay. So, yes, that's it.
I'm no project this evening, so I'll be back.
So you should be back. You'll hear people shouting in the background and him going, no, stop. It has to be you, because...
It'll be at 4 in the morning. Patrick, will you please go to sleep?
Okay.
There's the voice I look forward to hearing.
So, where were we? Sorting buzzers, yes, carry on.
So how are we doing with the Etherpad? Didn't seem to be much added to it in the past few hours.
No, I was just looking at that, actually.
Yeah, it's Because otherwise, poor Honky will have to listen back to everything and make his own notes as he goes. So, and he's got enough work to prepare to turn this recording into shows as it is. So,
are you xylinging? Is Dave xylinging for everybody else, or is it just me?
No.
Your audio broke up there for me. Did it break up for anybody else?
It didn't break up for me. Up.
No, you're breaking up, so it's on my side this is happening.
Okay.
Very stuttery.
Yes, let me just check and see what the hell's going on.
That's so weird. Isn't it? Yeah, we recorded the community news yesterday, and for Ken, my audio went really, really bad.
Yeah, it was very stuttery yesterday as well.
Oh, you were on. You were in the background listening, yeah?
Yeah.
When I turned off the audio, when I turned off the recorder, it stopped being a problem.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, strange.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hello, Joe. Better.
Hey, Ned. How's it going?
It's going. I hope Miss Short is doing all right.
Oh, yeah, she's still asleep.
I'm not surprised. What is it, 7 o'clock, your end?
Yeah. I'm getting ready for work.
Work?
Yeah.
New Year's Eve and you got to work?
To work Christmas Eve, too.
I know, my wife's at work today. She works in the hospital.
I think I had to work Thanksgiving, too. I think I'm going to take the next few holidays off.
I was actually off today, but I've already done my work thing.
My son just got a new job in November, and he was shocked to find that meant he had to work over Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve and all that stuff. So, but he's got no holiday allocation because it's a pro rata thing. So he's working today.
What does he do?
He's got a job at NatWest Bank. He's AI. He did an MSc in computer science with specializing in AI. So recruited him to write chatbots. So one of these horrible things that you think might possibly be a human, and then you realize it definitely isn't.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the future, isn't it?
It is, unfortunately.
Is anybody else having problems staying connected?
No, yes. I haven't dropped out.
I've dropped out 2 times.
Ken, your recording dropped.
Yeah, I dropped out so I could fix the Xylon issue.
No, mine so far, fingers crossed, touch wood, mine's been pretty stable.
Yeah, same here.
My internet's stable. It's hardwired DSL.
Yeah, I'm on a wired connection.
On a wired connection on this machine. I don't know why it's dropping in and out. Fiber. The ping was pretty bad too. What, 126?
Ooch.
Yeah, I got also kicked by low ping, and I'm on the wired fiber connection. So.
Now, mine's not fiber, but it's still, 300 Mbps.
That's
not
good.
Running much else.
That's pretty good. I'm on old-fashioned DSL, and otherwise known as digital slow link.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, hello.
I'm going to switch to my phone and see if I still have these problems.
Okay, Joe.
How's everyone doing? I just got up myself.
Oh, well, I've been up for many hours because it's just past lunchtime. It's 1:10 in the afternoon here in the UK, and it's probably 2:10 Ken's time.
Yeah, I forget as much. I'm like, Joe, I just got up about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
No, I've actually right. been 6. So okay. I just got on now.
I gotcha.
It's about 2 p.m. here, and I was up at 7 because of some on-call duty that was needed to handle this morning, which was not fun at all.
Oh, dear.
Hey, that's still better than a 3 a.m. phone call.
Yeah, the problem was that when I went to sleep yesterday at 1:30 a.m., I realized the problem, and I was too tired to do anything about it, and I should have. So I feel a lot guilty now this morning.
Oh, dear.
But I was up doing some research and so on and figuring things out. And then I went, oh, I need to go to bed now because I'm too tired to think. And then I just looked at my email and realized, okay, everything is bad. But I can't do anything now because I'm too tired. So I should not log in as an administrator and try to fix things because I will screw things up.
Just thinking about that is giving me that feeling of dread.
Claudia, yeah, hi.
Hey, yeah, that's pretty fun.
Where, are you calling from, Claudio?
I'm in the sunny city of Miami, Florida.
Cool.
I'm in the Boston.
I wish it was cool. I'm tired of the heat.
I'm in the Boston area.
Yeah, I've been off last week and this week. So I go back to work on Monday. So I work for the school system here. So we get the holidays off just like the teachers do.
So they're back at school on Monday, are they?
Yeah, everybody goes back.
It's a public holiday here in the UK on Monday.
Oh, well, that's enough of a reason for me to take it off. There you go.
You're back, Ken.
I am. I'm having lots of Xilin issues.
Oh, dear.
Could it be an overload of the server, or is it just connection issues?
It could be a me thing. I will check now on another machine.
Yeah, because I have a lot of Xilin issues as well.
I'm pretty sure it's the server, because I've already switched devices once and still having some problems and getting the Xilons.
Hmm. Where's the server base, Ken?
It's Delwyn server. We switched over during the year.
Where did you say it was?
Delwyn, skyhaven.net. I don't know where it's based.
Ah, right. I was just wondering, because like I say, it's been stable so far for me.
Yeah, so far I haven't had any issues. I haven't heard you guys Xiloning at all.
Now I'm wondering if it's an overload, a CPU issue or something like that. It can't really handle to send the audio through, because some of us have problems, but not all of us.
Yeah.
It's those dang internet tubes, I tell you.
Oh, I just remembered my first Unix experience. It was a BSD on a PT1145.
Do you remember which version BSD?
No, I don't know version. It was night TVs, and the only mouse in the computer room had whiskers. MIT system put together from scrap. I guess the system drive was a HASIC-sized 80 megabyte? Yeah, 80 megabyte.
Incidentally, I was playing with some BSD yesterday. I had a drive with free BSD on it that had been sitting in my shelf. I had pulled it from another PC about 8 months ago, and I said to myself, well, at some point I'm going to upgrade it to 13. And I said, well, today's the day. That was yesterday. And I went ahead and did it. Everything went smoothly. Upgraded to 13, upgraded all the packages, only to find out that the Wi-Fi card is not supported. So my only way to connect is through Ethernet. Apparently, the driver for the AX200 chipset that I have on my Wi-Fi card is not supported and may not be supported until 14. Incidentally, the OpenBSD project does support it. So I was having a talk with one of the guys who works on the Intel Wireless on Mastodon, and he explained why the FreeBSD one, the FreeBSD still doesn't support it yet. It was kind of bonkers the way they're doing it. He says that it's the way they're doing it is similar to how Endis Wrapper used to work. So when he mentioned that, I was like, oh God, no.
I was going to say, oh, I remember the days of having to use Endis Wrapper. That was horrible.
So I don't know why they're implementing it that way. But who knows? They're better at this stuff than I am, so maybe it'll work.
I want to set up Nomad BSD on something reasonably fast.
I'm going to give it a go in boxes at some stage. Now I've got this new PC. Boxes runs virtual machines as if they're running on bare metal virtually.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'm going to have to check that out.
Well, I'm...
You know, Tony, you should record a show telling us about your new PC.
Yeah.
It's in the works. I can't do it until after I've recorded Distro Hoppers and talked about it on there, though.
I'd actually like to hear an episode about the BSD and the experience running it on that PDP from Netminer.
Oh, that was back. That was back 80s. I was on the internet, ARPANET at the time, using a primitive form of Ethernet called ChaosNet that was a MIT only invention.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for all the old stories from back in the day. So Ken, what do you think? It sounds like an awesome episode to listen to.
Let me see it. Let me just call up my artificial intelligence thingy here. What do you think?
Yep. Sounds like a good show.
Well, I have very few memories from that, especially they did have to remove some of the imagery from the screensavers and login screens, though. It was scanned in images from a gentleman's magazine.
And here I thought it was because of some sort of burn-in. I think it's a different kind of burn-in.
Well, even when I went to the AI lab, they were touting their new 8086 video system, and they were showing off a interesting image. Actually, though, the standard image to test image compression is a certain chunk of a scanned-in Playboy image. It's a facial shot.
Interesting. They always use this image of a green frog to check for compression issues when we compressed images back then.
Well, I understand that this image is a fairly universal standard. Young lady wearing a hat, and it's not even a full face shot, but it was a standard that was available to everyone trying every new compression back in the days of GIFs and all of that.
Lena, L-E-N-N-A, link will be in Wikipedia. Link from Wikipedia will be in the show notes.
Actually, it was interesting working with the Night TVs, which are basically multi-headed Hercules screens running on a PDP-11.
Kind of flows well with the theme I've had during this break. I've been watching a lot of retro computing shows and on YouTube, and I actually was doing some stuff here with my old machines here at home, trying to get everything set up. So it all fits well.
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of DOS boxes that I hope to get around to once the smoke clears with my getting this house ready for a sewage hookup.
Yeah, most of the stuff I have is Apple-based, with the exception of one computer, but it is actually a Mac. It's one of the Mac clones from the mid-90s. It's from Motorola, the StarMax 4000. And that one I have running BOS Pro Edition 5.0.3.
Well, that sounds interesting. You may also want to keep track of the Haiku project.
I actually do. I have Haiku running on an EPC 900, EPC 900A, and I did actually record an HPR episode. So, Ken, you can check that one off.
Thank you. Already did before you spoke.
I was clearing my attic recently. There'd been a flood up there because UK houses have water tanks in their attics. And I have up there a deck station. Not sure what model it is, but it's one of the old VAX hardware workstations that you would keep on your desk or under your desk or whatever, which I did use at one point. I did development of VMS software on it. I was allowed to take it home from work, and then they said, I don't bother to bring it back. So I sat there ever since. I had this idea of firing or trying to fire it up. It'd probably be a loud bang when I do, but it'd be really quite entertaining to try. Yeah. It's got stacks of disks, you know, these huge big disks in that you pile on your desk, and each one is 1 gigabyte, I think, which was pretty impressive in those days. So yeah, this was from the late 80s, maybe something like that. And it's still got a version of VMS on it. So I don't know. I'm sure it would be interesting to anybody who, if I did a show on it, but I don't know whether it's actually going to work. When I ran it, my electricity bills were massive in comparison to Pitfall. So it's not a thing to be used lightly.
I definitely love to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a project I have to get to grips with. It's actually been pulled out from where it was, and it's sort of stacked on the floor with the cover over the top of it. My God, it's heavy. I had to get my daughter to lift one end of the monitor while I lifted the other. Mind you, I'm fairly ancient, so I don't lift things as well as I used to. But it is a ridiculously heavy thing.
Yeah, definitely check it. I'm sure your attic is not as bad as where I had my 2GS stored, which was in my dad's garage at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and with the heat and the humidity from Miami, it just, I mean, it did okay. The only thing is that I noticed when I lifted the console off the box it was sitting on, it leaked some fluid. So I think it's from the power supply, because I checked the logic board. Yeah, I checked the logic board and it seems to be fine, but I have it here now in my apartment and it's just sitting there. It's in a cool environment, so I haven't really done much with it. I'm going to at some point have to open it up and see exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like an interesting voyage. Maybe it's repairable, though. It's My vac station is still in reasonable order. The attic is sort of enclosed. You don't see the rafters and stuff. So it's got a floor and it's got it's not a proper dwelling room level, but it's it shouldn't be too bad. It probably has got loads of dust on it, but it's I think it's fairly good inside as far as the humidity is concerned. But only ripping it apart or switching it on and hoping for the best is going to tell me that.
Yeah, so long as you don't see the magic smoke, you're good.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about.
But the funny thing is that the StarMax actually was in that same garage, and it's done fairly well. So, I mean, of course, the StarMax is a newer machine compared to the 2GS, so I'm sure age also has a lot to do with it. The quality of the components used at the time, who knows? But yeah, I gotta take a look at that. I don't even want to turn it on. It's just there as a pretty display model right now.
Yeah. One of the things about DEC Digital Equipment Corporation was that at that stage in their lives, they made some pretty robust hardware. You know, it's all very, very solid metal framed stuff. And, you know, it's why it's heavy, of course. But it seems it's really built for lots of knocks and bangs and a rough sort of environment. So it would be fascinating if it could actually be brought back to life. I'm thinking maybe I should donate it to a computer museum. I think there is one somewhere in Scotland. Yeah, there's one in England, I know, but it's a fair way away.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not using it much, and I understand because of the power issues, you know, the consumption, that would be something.
Yeah,
that would be something good to do.
Mm-hmm. I'd quite like to just see what VMS looks like, because it's been so long since I've used VMS system now. I've been retired over 10 years now, and I did use the VMS before I retired, because we had a DEC Alpha, which was used. It wasn't on support or anything. I used to have to take the boards out of it every so often and blow them clean of crud. The boards sort of disengage themselves from the back plane from time to time. But I haven't used it for a long time in earnest. It'd be quite nice to fire it up and just do a sort of quick summary of what that operating system would offer in comparison to what you get these days. You know, it was pretty good in all sorts of ways, but compared to Unix and Linux, it was pretty thin in terms of text manipulation tools and stuff, you know.
Yeah, VMS kind of always interested me. I know there's Open VMS, and I think just recently they allowed once again to allow people to download it just for educational personal purposes.
Yes, I actually signed up for maybe a domestic license or something, I can't remember, where you could download it from HP, who now own it. I think it's still supported to some extent. So I see references to people using it in very specific circumstances. There were a lot of machines out there that before DEC went under, and the Alpha range was pretty good. It was quite innovative hardware as far as I understand.
Yeah, back in the day, the Alphas, I even used. I always wanted one.
Yeah, we got two at the place I was working. Two quite big ones with a RAID array with them, and the one ran VMS and one ran OS X, the DEC Unix
thing that was available at that time.
No, it was
after Ultrix. Ultrix was on the MIPS based machines. There was another thing which I think was called OSX is the term that comes to mind, but I'm not quite sure what it was called. My memory's failing me these days.
ASX.
No, it wasn't that. I'm probably confusing it with something else, actually.
ASX is generally Apple stuff.
Yeah, and speaking of that, and I know you mentioned the weight of the machine that you have, Dave, being all metal. Yeah, that, I kind of have a heavy machine here myself. It's the one of the old machines is a dual 1.8 gigahertz PowerMac G5, which I have running an unsupported port of Debian, so it's only on SID. That's the only source tree that they have. So yeah, there's a lot of breakage, but it runs and it works.
Hey, cool. Yeah, yeah. They don't make them like they used to, eh? I just looked up the Unix on Alphas, and it was called True64 Unix. I think it had a different name before, but there was a lot of renaming of stuff, and that was the era when VMS became OpenVMS, which was just because Open was a cool thing to put in front of stuff. But True64 Unix was the thing we ran on our second Alpha. This is a university, so we had a lot of people who wanted to get access to a Unix machine and didn't have anything on the desks or whatever. And there was also quite a lot of people who wanted the VMS service. So that was why we did that.
If you really want to go back, I did some work on a TU-58 based PDP-11 system.
What was that? Tell me more.
Cartridge tape used as floppy replacement, block replaceable cartridge tape over a 38.4 serial link. It had like an 8085 as the controller, and it was using RT11.
Wow. Yeah, that's going back a bit.
We put bad blocks at the end of each channel so it wouldn't, a file never wrapped over the end of it. It was a two-channel tape, and they didn't want to have to have the whole thing rewind to get to another chunk.
Wow.
I was building a couple of touchtone interfaces for this was a company called Perception Technology, which was producing touchtone voice response systems. You know, the press one and get this, and press two and get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back in the PD, and then it would have a voice for us. There would be canned answers that it would give, and that's what it was on the user side. On the computer side, we made it look like some random terminal or printer or something.
yeah. But a lot of that sort of things happened in those times. When I was a student in Manchester University, the computer unit there was a regional computer center funded by government, and so it had lots of resources which were used by Manchester and other surrounding universities in the north of England. And they did things like they had an ICL 1900 series machine with a paper tape punch, and they had another machine, I think it was a Cyber, one of the CDC machines, which was regarded as a giant mainframe in those days, and they wanted to transfer data to it. So they made the paper tape interface talk to, I think, effectively a paper tape reader on the other end. I don't know, I never saw physically how they did it, but they were pretending to write a paper tape on one end and pretending to read a paper tape on the other end to shift data around. This was like mid-70s, I think.
Yeah, well, I've worked with a big cyber machine. We were running either glass teletypes or 300 baud deck writers.
Ah, nice. Yeah, the deck writers were nice. They were the ones that had a matrix head, didn't they?
Yes.
And they would do that really neat thing that when you typed something, then the head would just move to the side so you could see what you just typed, yeah? Am I right? Is that...
Also, what was interesting two things. We also had ADM-3s, which were glass teletypes, and people learned how to take off the little panel and set the ADM-3s to 1200 baud, and we would sometimes steal, this was at UMass Boston, we would sometimes steal the line printer port as a terminal port with the, through the terminal multiplexer, so you could get 1200 baud glass teletype.
Yes. Well, people did that sort of thing in those days. That sounds really cool. You should definitely do some shows on this, or write it up, or do something, because these are gems.
Also, there was a the guy who designed the deck writer, LA-120 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
There was an interface port or an accessory port on there that deck didn't use itself. Well, after deck. This was a 300 baud basic printing unit. Well, after he left DEC, this guy founded a company that made boards that you'd plug into that accessory port and that would give your DEC writer 1200 capability.
Yeah.
Also, do you know the difference between a DEC tape drive and an IBM 360 tape drive?
I've worked with DEC tape drives quite a lot. But I've never come across an IBM, so I don't know the answer to that.
Well, we had in Building 20, they had the original PDP 10 from the AI lab, and it came with a bunch of true IBM tape drives. You drop a digital tape drive off the back of a truck, and you sweep it up. You drop an IBM tape drive off the back of a truck, and you patch the pothole it just created.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Yes, if someone was shooting at me, I would want to open the back of an IBM tape drive and hide.
Yeah. I miss tape drives, actually. I used to quite enjoy. I was the systems manager at my last job, so I got to play with the tape decks because we had permanently hired operators to do some of that stuff, but occasionally they were busy, so I would load tapes on the tape drives and stuff for them. And the way that they worked, this is on a VAX, the way that they handled tape always amazed me, because you basically just wound the tape and dropped the end of it into sort of throat of the mechanism, and then it did the rest, because it sort of blew the tape and then spooled it and then pulled it through the track and then brought it back around to the uptake spool and then wound it around that as well, all by blowing air in interesting ways, and off it went.
Self-threading tape drives are a gift from heaven.
Yep, the opposite are hell. Pure hell.
Well, when the self-threading tape drives that work are gifts from heaven.
I have seen them not work, yes, where they slurp, you hear the vacuum starting up, slurps the end of the tape, and then it ties it in the most wonderful knot. And that's you've now got to go and cut that tape back and all the rest of it.
One of the interesting books that I have around here was a travel log done by somebody around 1991. He was hired by the ISO to convert their standards to PDF format. Evidently, they were making their money by printing out huge numbers of standards books that they would store in the basement, and then they would sell about 5 copies a year, and then they would print next year's copies, which was quite lucrative for whoever the printer was. They didn't really care because it was European Union or whatever stuff, and they were taking their money from the UN. Interesting thing, he posted these standards, which should have been something that the ISO was supposed to put worldwide, on a Sun server in Colorado, and for a while they were available by FTP or what have you, on this Sun server while he was going around the world. But he went around the world about a year, and the ISO people told him to shut down the server because the wrong sort of people were getting the information, people in India and whatnot. They were getting it for free instead of paying through the notes. Also, at this time, probably the last time, you could actually see where the different links of the internet went. So when he went, you know, from California to Hawaii, he would go to the university where different links were tied in, and he went to Japan, and he went to Singapore and Hong Kong. Hong Kong had some serious betting power, which a bunch of PDP-11s and Vaxes, because horse racing was very serious. It was like the lottery today. Also, in some of those countries, they had DSL, not, but they had, what was it? IDSN, sort of DSL, but the predecessor.
Yep.
Pay phones, you could just plug in. In Singapore, they weren't charging because they had so much bandwidth that they weren't really charging for long distance or anything. You could go to somebody's place, grab the phone, and just make phone calls. He was talking about, you know, then there was the guy at Japan that was doing their networking and stuff, and various countries were hooking up from anywhere from either teletype baudot teletype lines to occasional dial up to floppy net, all sorts of stuff. A lot of the UCCP protocols were really useful in places where the connections were really shitty. Also in Europe, there was a lot of stuff which had to use the ISO standards, X25 and company. And
oh yes, been there.
And what everybody was doing was putting TCP/IP in X25 packets and shipping and using the TCP/IP stack and just tunneling it through the X25 network that they had to use for government reasons. This is before TCP/IP just flooded the world.
Yep. Well, I was working in universities in the UK from, I guess, the late 70s onwards. And during that, the early time, there was a inter-universities network which was based on the protocols on top of X25. There were all the universities had come up with their own protocols for file transfer and job transfer, interestingly, and mail, etc., etc. All the addresses were backwards compared to what we do nowadays. And there were a few gateways. There was a gateway at King's College in London, I think, where you could send it an email using the university's email protocol and request something off the internet, off the ARPANET, I guess it was, and then you would get it back as a series of emails with chunks in that you could glue back together again. So there came a time, I don't remember when it was, it must have been sort of mid-80s or something, where the whole of the academic community switched from these so-called colored book protocols to TCP/IP, etc., to the internet protocols. So that was quite an interesting transition, because we were very green as far as doing that sort of stuff. We didn't understand how vulnerable SMTP mail was going to be when we put it out there to the world, etc., etc. There's many stories there, I think.
Well, I've got books from the start of the ARPANET. I mean, in my area was where the original IMPs, the interface message processors, what we would call a router today. But the way that they worked is that you would have brand X computer, somebody would make an interface to that, they would talk to a Honeywell mini computer, and Honeywell mini computer would talk to the ARPANET over 56k baud synchronous line.
That's actually quite similar to the way that the universities networks grew up. They started off as local ones between, you know, just a few universities in an area, and then spread out to the countrywide. It became called JANET, J-A-N-E-T, Joint Academic Network, it became. But in the X25 days, every site that was connected to it had an interface processor in the way you just mentioned. That we call them NIPs, NIP, Network Interface Processors, and they were little standalone mini computers of their own, and then all of the machines on site connected to it using, I think, HDLC. So I'm not sure how far the X25 went. Certainly HDLC was under X25, but anyway, I don't remember the details of it. But yeah, and then you would have, as you say, different drivers, or however you like to put it, per vendor. So we had ICL kit at one place I worked, and then there was a Burroughs machine that had access to it, and then I worked with VAX and with VMS systems, which also had the necessary to connect to this stuff. And yeah, that was the way we worked as well. And the interconnection between the NIPs was dual ISDN, I think. I think we had a send and receive ISDN connection, which were provided. This is in the days when the UK ran its university computing through a Quango, quasi autonomous, what was it? Government. Well, I forget what it stands for, but basically it's a sort of subsection of government that was looking after money for computing in universities. That meant that, you know, you put forward a bid for an allocation, and you got N million to buy whatever it is you needed. And they wanted us to standardize on specific equipment, et cetera, et cetera. Then that all went out the window, and it became a lot more complicated.
Well, the interesting thing after the ARPANET got up is that somebody turned these little mini computers from just interfacing to a mainframe or a larger computer or whatever, they turned them into terminal concentrators.
Oh, nice. Very good.
They were called the terminal interface processor, TIP. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some of the universities ended up finding it cheaper to rent time through the ARPANET than to have their own private computer centers. Mm-hmm. I think you could call it almost an early version of the cloud computing.
Yeah, that's quite interesting.
Also, you need to go to Ann and Lynn Wheeler's site, garlic.com, and read some of their postings. These people were doing virtual machines from the 360 days, and these were experts that actually did shit. And the networking in IBM was virtually all under the table, and it used VM 370 for its main core operating system, because MBS just couldn't hack it. The fact that IBM was running its entire business on a basically hacked network, I always found amusing.
For some reason, UK universities didn't like IBM very much. There was very few IBM systems. I guess they didn't really fit in with the sort of student usage model or something. We were certainly we had IBM salesmen on site quite often in my last job, but that was like sort of the 80s, I think, before we bought the VAX cluster, and they were very, very, very keen to sell us an IBM machine. In fact, I got flown out to Valencia in Spain where they were building that particular device. I can't remember what it was now.
The thing about the IBMs is that they are and have continued to be incredibly rigid.
Yeah, yeah. I think that our user community really hated them. That was part of what, you know, we had access to one for in order to do evaluations of the various offerings, and compared to what they'd been used to, which was the ICL systems running an operating system called George 3, which all the universities were running for a while, because ICL was a UK company. They found IBM was just so weird, the sort of concept of virtual cards, card readers and card writers and all this stuff.
Well, the yes, and it all was very it was very much a batch environment, regardless of how they tried to put lipstick on the pig, making it interactive.
Yeah. I saw that too. Yeah, we had I think we had access to an IBM machine remotely at that point, and we had a couple of IBM workstation-y type things, which looked amazing compared to what we were used to in the sort of mainframes we had access to, which were just glass teletypes, and this had, you know, color and graphics on it and stuff. So yeah.
But that's how come there were several university-written operating systems for IBM hardware. Mm-hmm. There was a Michigan time sharing system from the University of Michigan. There was a couple of others where people basically chucked most of the IBM stuff and wrote what they needed to run under their systems. Also, just for your general information, there is a early version of MVMS MVS 3.8, which is available for public use because it was largely funded by the government, and the later versions of MVS just layered on proprietary additions. But it also runs under an emulator which runs under Windows and Linux called Hercules.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm aware of that. I think that's the one that we have a host on Hack Public Radio who's been doing work in that area and has done a show or two on the subject, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I believe that they also have some BitNet stuff, and I'm pretty sure they even have some DECnet stuff in a hobbyist form available.
Okay, very cool.
So, hey, I have a question. Going back to those tape drives, since you mentioned that if someone were coming after you, that's where you'd hide. Is it bigger on the outside than bigger on the inside than it looks on the outside?
Well, I'd have to throw out a lot of stuff to make room for myself, but or just open the rear doors and just stand there while the shots get absorbed by IBM logic.
I think Dave Morris got my joke.
Oh, I did. Yes, I was with you there.
He was making a Doctor Who reference.
Yes. Very good.
Speaking of which, that airs today, doesn't it? The Christmas special, New Year's special?
No, it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
I haven't watched it in so long. I think the last...
Is there anything left of Doctor Who after BBC got done with it?
A little bit.
It's a funny thing. My daughter and I don't know why how it turned out that way, but we both started watching the restart of Doctor Who. I'm old enough to remember the first episode, way back in, was it the 60s? Anyway, when it restarted.
1963.
Yeah. When it restarted.
I'm old enough, but we didn't have a telly.
We had black and white, of course, and it was very, very fuzzy. But, we started watching it together, and we both enjoyed it. She's not really a sci-fi person, though, but we used to, you know, discuss it and chat about it and stuff. But there came a point, I think, I can't remember which doctor, we just had enough, and it's not watched it since, either of us. So it's a shame, because I'm sure there's still lots of good things in it, but I think you can be oversaturated with it, maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened with me. I was with the Matt Smith, I think, and I watched a few episodes of I got quite into those, and then I kind of dropped off because I just lost interest, and I haven't watched it since.
Yep, that's pretty much the same point we stopped watching as well, I think.
Well, I used to watch it through public television in the Boston area when I had broadcast.
Yeah, I used to watch a lot of Doctor over public broadcast back when I
do want to catch the older episodes.
Yeah, back when I was a teenager and couldn't sleep because it was always on at like 2 in the morning or something.
Well, also, the Doctor wasn't too bad for what is essentially a sci-fi soap opera.
They had the showrunner who took over when it came back again, whose name is escaping me at the moment. I thought he did
Moffitt?
A damn... Sorry?
Moffitt?
No, who was before him? Changed to Moffitt a bit a year or two after it had started up, didn't it? I can't remember.
Hold on.
You thinking of Chisnell?
No. God. Is he not coming
back? The guy
back
who's taking over again? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. He's coming back as showrunner, and I've forgotten his name totally.
The BB Russell T. Davies is
yes,
who you're thinking of.
Yes.
Isn't the BBC giving up control of the Doctor Who storyline?
No idea, I'm afraid. But I did enjoy his shows, the shows under his guidance, or in some cases written by him and stuff. Those really appealed, I guess, from many years of not having anything good in the way of British-based sci-fi on the television. That just seemed to appeal to both my daughter and I. My son hates it, but my daughter liked it.
Well, I still can picture that robot dog, and of course the Daleks.
Oh yes. Those were the source of great fear and trepidation to young me in 1963. I can tell you.
K-9
was great.
two different shows, two different spin-off shows.
Well, you had Torchwood, and you had the Sarah Jane Adventures.
I'm talking two specific K-9 shows. There was the K-9 Adventures, which was basically an early version of Sarah Jane, except like way back when she first left the show. And it was called K-9 Adventures. And then there was an Australian show called, I think, The Adventures of K-9 or something like that.
Some of the K-9 stuff was actually very good. Some of it was very, very childish, I felt. But when they got it right, it was really good. It's quite a character.
Oh, yeah. Do we have someone to say hello to?
Oh, we do. I've got it up here. Oh, he's disappeared.
Queensland. We missed Queensland.
Oh, Al, this is Rowan saying hello. You guys were in the middle of your Doctor Who chat, so I didn't want to interrupt.
Hey, Rowan.
Hey, Archer.
Hi, Rowan. How are you doing?
Hi, Dave. Doing well.
Hi,
this is an interrupt-driven podcast.
Yeah, I miss out on Doctor Who probably in the years that would have really captured me. I've only saw a few, but where we live, I don't ever remember running across it, because I know as a kid I definitely would have like been captivated by it, because I was big into like Ultraman, and we got some of the the Japanese like Speed Racer and stuff like that, but never found Doctor Who.
Back
Doctor Who
ship
didn't,
your motto.
Doctor Who really didn't run from, like, other than the 1996 Doctor Who movie, I think it was the 1986 or something, all the way up until 2005.
They did a New Year's special for the millennium.
Oh, in 2000?
Yeah, on the New Year's Eve, I think it was.
The comedy special. What was it called?
I don't think it was comedy.
Where they did a whole bunch of regenerations.
I know they've done various ones for Red Nose Day for. For the for the charity telethon, but I don't think the Millennium one was a comedy.
And if we're doing British sci-fi, of course, we have to have an honourable mention to Thunderbirds.
The British? I thought that was American.
I always assumed it was American.
It was British, yeah.
Yeah.
Lady Penelope, what's her name?
Was that the era of what they called Super Marionation?
It was Super Marionation, and it was a British show that was aimed at the American market, but unfortunately didn't make it all the way across the pond, at least for long term.
Yeah, that was quite. I certainly enjoyed that as a youngster. When what era was that out in?
I wouldn't know. Most of the stuff that I've gotten is syndicated or reruns or what have you. I didn't get a lot of this stuff when it was hot. Although I can picture Lady Penelope and her. And her chauffeur right at this moment.
The one I was thinking of was Rowan Atkinson, The Curse of the Fatal Death.
That
Red
looks
Nose
like
Day it. Charity Telethon. And on 12 March 1999.
Yeah, there was also a Doctor Who night in 1999 that had various things in it. But,
apparently Thunderbirds was from 1964, so yeah, it would have appealed to me. I would have been 15 at that time.
Yeah, the Doctor Who 1999 New Year's Eve show was with Paul McGann. It was the only one he ever did.
Was that the movie?
Yeah, it was a it was an extended episode that they did for the Millennium.
No, I'm seeing one here with Tom Baker on 13 November 1999.
Hello, everybody from across the pond. Good morning here, at least.
Good morning.
Good morning, Delta Ray.
I just put a link to that that show in the notes.
Checking it out now. Well, yeah, the 1996 Doctor Who movie was actually a New Year's.
Thanks, Tony, for the links. By the way, I fixed my Xylening by going into Mumble and setting the quality to something from best to worst.
Ah, and that stopped it dropping out.
It took the pressure off the server, I guess. Interesting. You all still sound as crappy as ever, so...
But that was you've done that voluntarily. That you selected crap mode by your own choice.
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, the link you sent just talks about the 1996 Doctor Who movie and basically what time you can start that movie to have it end at the ball drop or right at midnight.
All right, I thought that was a Millennium one. Millennium special one.
The movie was made in 1996, but I think it was set in 1999.
Ah.
It's been a while since I watched it.
Maybe they re-showed it Millennium Eve, and that's why I thought it was a Millennium special.
Gotta jump on a phone call for work. I'll be back.
Okay. I'm going to disappear for a bit. I've got some stuff to do. I'll be back later.
Tuss.
Yeah, I'm going to work on some breakfast, so I'll be back
later. Okay.
It's lunchtime here, so I think I might be going quite soon as well.
See you later.
Right. Fine. See you later.
Fine. Nobody wants to talk to me. That's okay.
I'll be listening in. I might jump in here and there, but yeah, I got to eat.
I was looking back through the show notes, and I noticed that HPR's inaugural episode was on New Year's Eve 2007, so happy birthday, HPR.
Nope. Well, HPR's was both the first episode of Today with a Techie, which was the rename before that was... Let me just check. So if you go to stats.php... So 16 years, 3 months, 17 days ago. So 2005... September the 19th was the first show, and it was renamed on 2007 at midnight, first day of 2008. And we've done a total of 4,061 shows, according to this. How is that possible? Show is still in the queue?
An impressive number of cats to herd in one direction.
Just ask for shows and they come.
And ask, and ask.
Yes. And continue to ask. We actually have a call for shows up at the moment. So if people do want to drop off and record a show, that's absolutely fine.
This doesn't count?
Mm-mm.
This show never counts.
I was thinking that this morning. This week has been much busier than I planned. I took the week off and I'm thinking, I'll be able to do all sorts of things, include recording shows. And this is the first time I've had to sit down.
I know that feeling.
I noticed I haven't done a show since 10 years ago, so sorry about that.
That's fine. Just press the record button and upload.
I never know what to talk about.
What do you mean you never know what to talk about? Let's see what you've done already.
Or I guess I'm afraid I'd ramble on aimlessly.
Oh, I ramble all the time. Don't worry about that. And people still listen.
Well, you've got to remember...
Ah, yes. Desktop Transparency. That was a very interesting show. Your first.
We also remember our dear departed friend 5150 and his show that was purely snoring.
Yes, that's true. Good show, though.
Yeah, he's still missed. Him and Lord Drakenbluth as well. Yeah. I still remember him.
I only got minor exposure to the Lord, but he sounded like a quality guy, too.
Yeah, he was an awesome guy. I never got to meet him in person, but I would talk to him all the time, either through chat or sometimes we would do a Mumble thing. He's been on a number of podcasts that people are familiar with.
Yeah, I knew Lord D personally, and I'm sorry that he's gone. I miss him too. He and I worked together about 10 years ago on the Indiana Linux Fest.
Oh, wow. Small world. Look at that. Good to meet you.
In fact, he might have gotten me into HPR.
I remember he was doing a YouTube show for a while on Linux and stuff like that. I don't remember. It's probably still there. It's been ages. I just don't remember the name.
Yeah, for a while after he passed, he had that If This Then That hooked up to his Facebook and Twitter accounts, and they were still posting like Linux news for, I think, a year or two afterwards.
Yeah, I remember that. It was surreal to see that after his passing.
But also a good tribute to his dedication to the community.
He also had a podcast called $10 Review, where he would review certain movies.
And the idea was, if you could get the movie for $10 or less, you could review it.
That's what it was, yeah.
Hello. All right, can you all hear me?
Yep, coming in fine.
Okay, it was all staticky before. Yeah.
Gonna go silent for a bit as I'm making breakfast. I'll be back soon.
Enjoy. Just filling up the show notes with the updated time zones.
Yeah, I think I better go make breakfast too, so talk to you guys later.
Alrighty.
Ken, I've already spread the word on Mastodon about the show, so maybe we'll get some new listeners, or chatters, or talkers, or whatever.
Super. I'm actually enjoying Mastodon a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, it takes a while, and you kind of have to interact to get the best out of it, otherwise you don't really see much come into your timeline.
Alright, everything's working now, finally. The show notes won't load for me.
Why is that?
Authenticity of the data received cannot be verified.
That's probably because it's not an SSL site. Is there a clicky accept thing?
Yeah.
I'm editing it as we speak.
Cool. Yeah.
Good tip for everybody is Reykjavik does not observe daylight savings time, and it is at UTC. All the time. So if you get an Android phone and you want to have a UTC time zone, pick Reykjavik.
Good to know.
That's actually quite useful.
Yes, I've raised that as a bug, but gets rejected because theoretically it's not a time zone, it's a standard, so blah 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 blah. People won't fix bugs because of being pedantic about its use.
Right now I'm trying to get a UTC clock so that I can know where we are in the notes.
Yeah, I have UTC GMT because I need to ring my mother, NZ because I need to know where time it is when Plateau starts planning his games, and then local time here. And speaking of the only correct format, ISO 8601, a bug that's been open in KDE for 7 years is finally getting some attention. Related to the fact that you can't change the underlying operating system date and time format. And one thing that did happen this year was Firefox, or Thunderbird, finally allowed the editing of date and time as well. And it was only because some developer, drive-by developer, came along. Again, another bug that was open for years and couldn't be fixed because blah, blah, blah. But I've already ranted about that last year. So if you want to hear my rants about date and time, feel free to go back and listen to that show.
Sounds good.
Amazing how many people don't say, "Hey, Ken, tell us anyway."
Yeah. I feel like a fraud because I was here for the New Year's last year, and then I did like the one show because you told me like I owed it to you, and I just haven't like gotten the time to listen to any, like hardly any shows.
You don't need to listen to them, you just need to submit them.
I'm trying to find a good topic.
You can't.
What's that?
What do you mean you can't find a topic?
Oh, I haven't thought of anything good.
Speaking of topics, Ken, question for you. Has anyone else submitted an episode that's non-English? Because I've gotten so far 2 comments, and they've been pretty happy with it.
Yeah, sounded good. And yeah, we discussed that on the New Year show, or on the on the New Year shows now, on the community news, which will be released tomorrow. It's quite good. I was surprised at how much I actually followed.
I think I followed at least the general gist. It was definitely pushing what my high school Spanish recollection could do.
So I don't know if that's going to be I'm interested to see the way it goes, actually, if we remain a predominantly English, but occasionally somebody comes in with other shows. I imagine if, like, somebody was releasing shows every 2 weeks, it might get a bit annoying, but maybe every week, every other day, a non-English show, it might get annoying, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
It would be an interesting curiosity. That's pretty much it, especially shows that I probably couldn't decipher, just to listen to it. Maybe not even, regardless of whether I understand it or not.
Sorry, could you repeat that? Because I got Zylund.
I was just saying that even if I don't understand the language, it would still, at least to me, it would still be interesting just to listen to it. I guess it's just, languages sometimes just fascinate me just for the sake of being language.
Yeah, Dave did mention that he would like to see a transcript of the show. Maybe something that would be useful.
You might want to put your non-English, just file them under a different heading.
Yeah, it depends how many we get.
Well, I'm just saying, I know you're usually trying to fill a time slot, but you also could be a bit more podcasty and make it so that maybe it's just mentioned in the mainstream or what have you.
Yeah, it was mentioned somewhere in the mailing list about eventually if there were enough submissions that maybe there might be a separate feed for that. But, I mean, I guess for now, most people could just skip it if they're not interested. I mean, that's what I do with a lot of other episodes anyway.
Yeah, definitely. It's one, if it becomes a problem, we'll deal with it. But having the occasional different language show in there is, it's as foreign to me as the Haskell episodes are, if I'm not completely zoned in and following up on it.
I feel like I need to get like a glass of wine or something once it comes to New Year's.
Just going to drop off because there's massive silencing happening. 1 second. Sorry, what was that?
Oh, I said I feel like I need to get like a, once it's almost New Year's, I need to get a glass of wine or something.
No, I didn't get it. I'm having connection issues. Let me see if I can fix it somehow.
Mumble is being very finicky today for me.
Same here.
Turn down the quality to absolutely 0.8 kilobits per second. Let's see if I can handle that. Somebody want to talk?
Talking?
What's that?
Anybody?
Well, they don't have this many problems with the server, but...
Hello, Ro.
I'm here. Is this thing working?
Yes, we can hear you, Ro.
Thank you.
Is that better, Ken?
Mumble's being...
Yep.
Victor Charlie, come in over. PS7, Kilo Echo November, come in over. Anybody?
Sorry, I'm having trouble understanding you now.
We're hearing you, Ken.
You're very fuzzy. Yeah, I lost connection.
I'm not sure mine is all... server. Sometimes my client, I lose the screen that shares the room and stuff, and I can't get it back.
Yeah, it drops the ping. The ping time gets to be too low, and basically the connection resets on you.
Okay.
That's the server itself or net connection, but I'm having the same problem, so I'm assuming that it's the server. It's very intermittent.
I was playing around with the VPN earlier, so I figured, well, maybe the VPN was just taking too long to get where it needed to go. So now I'm just back on straight.
Owen's going to hop on. What hardware he's using. I mean, if it's running on like a Pi or something, then yeah, I could see where there would be a problem with this many people on.
So I'm just going to... Hello?
Yep, we hear you. Yeah. I guess we should have backup recordings going.
Hello?
Welcome back, Ken.
Okay, I think we need to chuck some people off that are not speaking and have them just listen to the stream. What do we think about that?
If it's causing issues with the server, that's probably the best thing to do.
Oh, so no recording this time? I was going to comment that, yeah, trying to put the recording together would be rather fun for Hawk.
Can anyone hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
You're coming in loud and clear, Ken.
Yeah, I can't hear anything. Weird.
Yep, that seems a little weird. Today's a nice slow day at work.
Oh, that's good. I took the week off, so I'm just sitting here relaxing.
Well, this is the only day I'm working this week. That was basically just to give the people that did work this week a chance to be off.
Wow, that's nice. Yeah, luckily I'm in a small enough company that I'm more or less the IT, so.
Yeah. I'm the guy that writes the schedule, which is helpful.
Yeah, so far I've only had to, never have your certificates run out at the end of the year. You did have to jump on and, update for the next year's certificates for a couple websites this week. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
I haven't really even checked in at all this week, which is a little odd for me. I ended up logging in a couple of times Christmas week because some of my team got sick, but not a big deal. Pretty cool. Slow week all around.
Yeah, generally I just look at my email once or twice a day and then go back to sitting around or running around as the case has been.
Well, did you have any fallout from that Log4j fun?
No, luckily we haven't. I mean, potentially it could because we do have some Java stuff running. I don't think we use it directly, but, you know, who knows what in it. So we have been trying to keep up on that, but it hasn't hit us.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have any security breaches with it or anything, but it was a fun couple of days trying to get everything updated.
I'm sure. And it just seems like every day there's yet another time to update.
All right. I'm cutting in and out again.
Aaron, how's it going?
It's going good, Archer72. How are you?
I'm good. Just had a slow morning. Apparently, I owe Ken another show.
Archer, can you disconnect that mobile connection, please, and listen on the stream on mobile? I want to see if getting rid of some people's connections would improve the Xyloning for the rest.
Is that better?
Or so good.
Well, yeah, I think I don't know.
Early to tell.
There are too many people on.
But no, it didn't. It's conflicting as well. I just heard it coming in there again. Anyway, yeah, there's no reason for people who are not participating. What's that?
I missed who it was.
I'm going to be silent for a bit. Yeah, I'm going to be silent for a bit, so I'll go ahead and disconnect.
Yeah, I think I'll do the same.
Yep, it's been a pretty quiet week for me. I mean, other than running around and doing visiting. I did enjoy your last show.
What show was that?
The fixing a noisy blower motor? Is that the one?
Yeah, that was just a little off the cuff. I didn't know if it'd be interesting enough.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. Not that I have a blower currently, but, you know, it's always good to keep it in the back of your head.
I had no idea what I was getting into until I pulled it apart.
I know that feeling.
But it was just after the previous year, it just started getting annoying. Only in the cool weather.
Yep.
What I owed Ken a show was for the turntable I got, interface to Raspberry Pi.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, now I can record the FLAC. I did a Star Trek record. I put it on my Google Drive, if you're interested. I just couldn't put it on the archive.
Right. Yeah, that'd be cool. I remember having, I think I at one point had, I think it was a record of the themes from the original Star Trek movie from 77, 78, something like that. Or is that later, a little later?
I don't know when the first one came out.
What was that?
The 60s, right?
First one what?
The first Star Trek movie?
No, Star Trek movie. The first Star Trek episodes was 1963 or 1964. The first movies, I don't think, happened until much later in...
Yeah, it was sometime...
70s?
I think it was 70... I can't remember if it came out right before or right after Star Wars. But I know it was late 70s.
1979, Star Trek, the motion picture.
Yep. Because I remember
that would have been the same time frame as the Star Wars movies, I think 78.
Yeah, I think I remember the summer or something of that of 78 is, I think, when I saw Star Wars, but I don't quite remember. And then I do remember going to the theater to see Star Trek, the movie also. But yeah, Archer72, it'd be interesting to listen to that. If for no other reason, to hear how it sounds like the the transfer went.
Yeah, there's about 30 seconds on either side of both tracks, but if you don't mind that, just skip over it.
Cool.
Okay, I'd probably need to send the link to your email, though, because I don't think it would be good to put it on here or on Matrix.
Yep, no, that's fine. Do you have my email from the webpage?
Oh, yeah, I can find it. I may have it even from our going back and forth with the tags.
Right.
That was a fun project.
Yep. Yeah, that's going back to talking about Lord D. That's actually the first time I had heard any of his shows was going back and doing the tags and stuff.
Yeah, I heard about him, but I missed what they were talking about when I can't remember how long ago he passed.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head either.
I'm surprised they didn't talk about 5150 yet. He was pretty integral in the community too.
Yeah, they did mention him a little bit. I just recently started getting on to like the chats and stuff, so I never got to interact with 5150 either, but always enjoyed his shows.
Yeah, miss 50.
He also did the beer, like he would do the beer, was it the beer of the week or the beer of the month or something like that at one point?
Well, and he did an audiobook show as well.
Isn't there still a missing audiobook show?
There's a couple that haven't been released yet. I'm not sure who's doing the audio editing on those, though. What's it been, Netminer, 2 years since 50 passed away?
I'd say so.
Oh, it's still awesome of him to come out to Texas Linux Fest so I can meet him. I don't know if that was his exact reason, but nice.
Okay, I need to sign off for a couple minutes. I just got a text message with my honey-do list for the next hour. So I'm going to go take care of that, and I'll be back in a little bit.
Ken, you still around?
Just me and Joe.
I don't see that Ken's logged in.
Yeah, I just noticed that. No, I was going to say, the URL for the stream seems to be incorrect. Because every time I click on it, it wants to download the stream.m3u file from that other link. And the redirect from hackerpublicradio.org/live goes to that particular link as well. If you take off the .m3u, it loads on a player without issue. At least that's the result I've gotten.
Happy New Year, Japan, South Korea, and 9 more. Tokyo, Seoul, Gwangyang, Dili, and I'm not even going to try the last one.
Happy New Year.
Well, gents, we have another shorty. 15 minutes from now or thereabouts, we have Western Australia. By the way, gentlemen, there is a news group that many of you might want to at least scan. It's alt.sysadmin.recovery for those of you who have had a bad day dealing with servers or similar problems.
Netminer, is that news group also for admins that had problems recovering their backups?
Yeah, well, if you like your sysadmin comedy, it's for anyone, yes.
Figured I'd go a little meta on that. And no, I don't mean Facebook.
No, what we're talking about is an entire news group from based on the principles of the SysOp from Hell.
Right. Did you put that in the show notes? That way we can refer to it later, I guess, because I may want to look into that just for out of curiosity. I just started on my second cup of coffee. Breakfast is done, so just going to chill here.
Yep. Western Australia, Happy New Year. And to all sysadmins, alt sysadmin recovery has been noted. It is sysadmin humor. Better than a 45 for that damn server.
Happy New Year, West Australia.
Yes.
Welcome, CRBS.
Hello.
Any hunters out here?
No, I'm not. Much of my family is, but that just never caught on with my little branch of it.
Yeah, I'm more of a target or a blinker myself when I was legal for firearms.
Although my dad's happy to let anybody come up and take out some deer on his property, since there's a whole bunch of them there.
Yes, I know if they're not controlled, they can be real nuisances.
Yep. I just actually was up there at couple days ago and saw a flock of turkeys, too. I think there were like 11 or 12 of them.
Actually, when I was going to my shrink in Brookline, I saw a bunch of wild turkeys. Yeah, I was just thinking of a story my dad told me about the time that he coughed up a deer.
Coughed up one?
Yeah, he was going through to, you know, just going along through this area up in Weld, Maine, and he was hacking and coughing and whatnot, and his buck decided to see who was invading his territory.
Oh, wow.
Well, my dad came out on top on that one, I think.
Yeah, I'm guessing actually, particularly a buck, if he came up on it, it could be potentially a bad outcome for you.
Well, he wanted to know which male had invaded his territory, and he found out the hard way. Now, yeah. my brother is a peaceful sort. The last time he got a deer, it was with a semi-truck.
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot of them, but I do see a number of them going back and forth along the sides of the road.
Yeah, well, my brother is like that old Johnny Cash song, I've been everywhere. I mean, he doesn't do the Northeast anymore, but he bounces from Washington State to Florida.
Sounds like he has gotten to see a good bit of the U.S. then.
Yeah, and occasionally he has to serve time in California.
Hello.
Hey, Mad Sweeney. It's back to the turkeys. It was kind of interesting seeing them because it's been a while since I'd seen them that close. I mean, we were still probably 50 yards off or so, but they do, the girls were with me. They're like, they look like peacocks kind of when they're walking. I mean, you know, without their tails spread out.
Actually, when I was doing security work south of Boston here in the condo complex, we had a pheasant come through.
Yeah, I think you are starting to see that sort of things, you know, areas get squashed. You start seeing more of the so-called wildlife partaking in a more urban areas.
Well, around this area was an old night site, so there was some woods.
Yeah.
The real two pieces of exciting wildlife were the skunks that tended to like to patrol the parking area.
I don't know if I've actually seen a skunk. I've definitely smelled them when they haven't made it across the roads before.
Well, when I was patrolling the parking area, I would often have to alter my patrol route to avoid the black and white residents.
Yeah, that might put a damper on your evening if that confrontation.
Yeah, also would make getting a cab a little difficult.
True.
Now, the other animal that attempted to shorten my life was a small opossum. I was walking through a dimly lit concrete deck around the condo complex, and this little opossum goes racing by, made my hair stand up on it.
Yeah. They do can be, like, kind of scary looking when they're, like, growling, or I guess growling. I don't know if that's the right term for opossum, but their teeth, pointy little teeth.
Yeah, they tend to hiss at you when they're upset.
Yeah, this fall we had to evict a tenant in our chimney. We were all sitting out back. We'd had a small gathering in our backyard, and our neighbor across the street goes, I think you have a raccoon in your chimney, and we all looked up, and he was sort of sticking his head out, and then he disappeared down in. And then over the next couple days, like, the cats would be sitting looking, staring at the chimney from on the inside, and then you could hear scrabbling noises. So we had to have somebody come out, and they put like a cap with a one-way door on it. And then I can't remember I think it's some kind of scent or smell they sort of sprayed up to sort of, or maybe we just waited. I can't remember. I know we had to wait for like a week to make sure that, you know, because they did just sort of come and go. But once they went out, it couldn't get back in. And then we had to get a new cap put on the chimney to keep raccoons and other, we have a lot of squirrels around here too that like to run across the roofs.
Well, we had a groundhog living under a small shoemaker shop that used to be in our backyard. Somebody was working on our chimney, and he says, "Is that a pet?" And I said, "No, it's more like a tenant." Now, this animal was not fenced in. At the time, our yard was not fenced very much. The guy working on the chimney sort of was weak on the concept of wild animals. She had a bunch of babies, and they lived in our firewood pile, so they must have been woodchucks.
Yeah. Our area, we have a mix. I mean, like I said, we saw the raccoon squirrels, and then we have a lot of bunnies in our yard. We actually had a little, summer, a mother had put a couple of her, like three of her pups, I guess they're pups, I'm not sure what baby bunnies are called, but in a little, she dug a little, like, indent or in our yard, and so that was fun because we've got cats and a dog, so we had to sort of cover it up with a piece of furniture so they couldn't get down get to them, and then waited about a week until they were finally old enough to move.
Yeah, I've seen a bunny here. Even a neighbor has fenced a sliver of land along the stream here, but the bunny went under it. Well, I have a neighbor who, well, I'm thinking of crowdfunding his wake. Well, renting the local stadium is going to cost a bit of money.
Sounds like a popular neighbor.
Yeah, let's say I'd use his picture if I needed to patch my Ayatollah Khomeini dartboard.
I see. I've been lucky so far.
He's a nice guy. I believe he should get a COVID shot, but it's hard to get live COVID these days. Yeah, he wanted to fence my backyard on a line that he decided on so that he could use it for parking. He did not negotiate. He sent my lawyer a map saying, here's the property that I will take. No money exchanged, of course.
The old saying, what is it, good fences make good neighbors. It's just making sure the fence is where it needs to be is the problem.
Well, he suddenly discovered that he had a chunk, that there was an abandoned chunk of property, a little sliver that was forming my side yard, and he wanted to trade my backyard for the herring run here. I really have trouble parking a car in the stream.
It's not recommended.
Well, the problem was that the boundary line was from back in the days before that area of land was land. It was mostly stream back in 1917.
So, like, was it sort of based on the stream, or?
The old boundary was based on the stream and whatnot.
Yeah, streams, for the short term, may make good boundary lines, but even a relatively geologically short time does not always the best.
Well, also back in the day, they didn't worry about filling streams in like they do today.
I know that it's true.
Now, I've got to get this house cleaned up so that I can get sewage hooked up. Unfortunately, my property has come under interest to a developer, and certain of their friends at the town hall are suddenly inspecting the place and saying, well, you know, you're not up to code.
Most of the places I've lived, that's already been resolved for a number of years, but I've had friends that have run into similar situations.
Yeah. Well, they say, why don't you just walk away? You know, the developer will give you a pile of money, and you'll have a pile of money and no house, and you can clearly rent something.
That's the fun. They always like to say that, but they never really want to pay you what, I mean, if it's worth that much to them, you know, they don't want to pay what it's really technically going to be worth now. You know what I mean?
Well, we recently had commuter rail come into this area of town, so property values have, for yuppies, have gone up considerably.
Yeah, and I know now with sort of the remote, you know, work going on, a lot of people, that's, you know, all places, sounds like yours, are places, oh, let's go live way out, and I can just commute to work now, or telework. So you're going to definitely get more interest than you probably want.
Well, the town was talking about if they hook up the sewage, they might not get their money back from the zero interest loan. Now, with the increase in property values here, well, let's say a small Cape property was rumored to go for $500,000 in my neighborhood. Putting in sewage and whatever would not come close to any of the real investment that they'd put in the house. But the same people that do the homeowners loan, refurbishment loans also interface with developers, and they're a little upset that I didn't just take the money and run.
Yep, that's sort of similar to where my parents live. There was an area, and just a few years ago, maybe a decade ago, they were trying to get people to, you know, renovate their houses, and they were given all sorts of loans out. And then, you know, about 5 years ago, a developer decided, oh, this will be great because there's an, it's like right off of an exit of the interstate. So then they wanted to go through and try to buy out all the houses. Well, you know, not all these people are like, you know, and they barely wanted to give them what, you know, what it was going to cost to pay back the loans they took out. And so that's just been an ongoing thing with, you know, some people were in a position to take the money, but other people were like, where am I going to go? You're not going to get, you're not offering me enough money to, you know, buy out what I have plus get me something comparable.
Well, I don't drive, so my options are rather limited because I'm rather near the edge of reasonable public transportation in this region.
Yeah, I feel you. That makes it tough when you've got, you know, you've got to make sure you can live, you know, in the area that you can get around in.
Well, you know, I mean, also, you know, I've lived in this house since the early 60s, and now they're suddenly saying, well, it's too cluttered, it's too this, it's the wiring's not up to code, you know.
Right.
We've got to replace all the windows, we've got to replace the siding, and we've got to spend all this money, and we don't think we're going to get it back. So they expanded a simple sewer hookup to stripping the house to the walls and, you know, removing lead paint and everything like that. So, you know, if you add enough bells and whistles, you know, you can make a Yugo into a Cadillac.
Yep.
Then they said, well, we don't know whether we really want to invest the money in doing your entire place over. They were a little upset that I got upset at them for, you know, blowing this thing up like this.
Well, that's because, you know, that's what their calculations are based on, everybody just assuming, you know, they're going to want the money and walk away, and then making it easy for them to just do the least common denominator, which is probably level everything and start new.
Well, the interesting thing was they called me October 15th and they said that we want you hooked up to sewerage by the end of the year.
That makes no sense. I mean, even if you, you know, got right on it, getting that sounds like that's not going to happen that quickly.
And then when it came down to actually making any kind of decisions, they said, well, we've got to consider rewiring and we've got to consider this and we've got to consider whether it's worth our investment. Now, they're taking a lien against the house. The property is, according to my taxes, well, a couple hundred thousand dollars, shall we say. You can't get it. I mean, and we're talking a $20,000 sewer hookup, maybe. Excuse me, you're not going to get your money back in
right.
five or 10 years, you know. Also, if I don't have a home, I may have a fat bank account, but, you know, I can't. Around here, a studio apartment goes for like $2,000 a month.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, and things are just going to go up. I mean, the more it gets developed, then, you know, even the rental prices, that's sort of my area. The rent is insane.
Also, well, I can't really say much more, but if I don't have a home, being homeless in this environment in New England is what you'd call a suboptimal choice.
Well, yeah, it's pretty suboptimal anywhere, but in particularly at this time of year, yes, I would not want to be in that position up there.
And under those conditions, well, can't really say that much more if I want to remain an independent individual. I really want to avoid the jacket with all sleeves.
I hear you. Well, I hope things work out. I don't know. Unfortunately, it sounds like, I mean, and I don't know how easy that is or money wise, but this is where, like, unfortunately, it sounds like you need lawyers on your side, as you know, to help guide you through some of the landmines, the legal landmines they're throwing your way.
Yeah, well, I just got, I have several generations of pack rats to my own stuff and a bunch of family stuff to try to empty out through the trash system. And unfortunately, because we've gone to bin trash, you can't put out a bunch of barrels or whatnot anymore. You can only get bins from the town hall at their rates, and they don't allow you to rent a bin for a short term. If I was to get some extra bins, I would have to pay for them, regardless of whether I needed them afterwards or not.
I see. Do they have a bulk trash or a place where you can take? I mean, I know that means arranging somebody to pick it up or something, or to haul it someplace.
Well, they do have furniture pickup, and I am going to try to get some furniture out of here just to get some space. I have a bunch of beds that are no use to me and are generally just collecting stuff, but that's not necessarily all. And when my friends say, well, why don't you get somebody to come in here and go through your stuff? And, well, there's some material that I just don't want. There's some of my stuff that I want to, you know, I want to burn. And
right. There's stuff you want to make sure you've looked at and decided and done with before you want just people coming through your and going through things.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's, I have a wood stove, and there's a certain amount of books that I just want to burn as trash.
Oh, not to change the subject, but is the next one coming up? I think it's China, Philippines.
Yes, China, Philippines, and 10 more, Beijing and whatnot.
Right. Not sure. What's the I know I've listened to these before. I've never participated. Is there I don't know if we do a countdown. I don't have seconds on my clock showing.
Well, I think if we're within a couple of minutes, it's okay. This is not exactly what you call a precision outfit.
According to my clock, it is now a happy new year to, what did we just say? China and the Philippines.
Beijing, Hong Kong, Manila, Singapore.
Welcome to 2022. I am going to go silent for a couple minutes. I need to go refresh my coffee.
Well, thanks for being another skeleton in the crew.
I think I'm going to refresh my coffee as well, going for number 3 and my final coffee. I also just posted the information about the show on my blog, which is claudiomiranda.wordpress.com, if you want to check it out. All the plugs.
Get them in.
Well, put your blog in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll do that right after I get my coffee.
Sounds like a plan.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at Hacker.